If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Are all those words English, or are you making them up?
That's a very interesting question. I don't know.
Because that's what champions do.
Emergency. Batman speaking. Warning all of you to brace yourselves for big news.
These financial shenanigans that have been going on, I mean, I'm reading about this now. I'm not really a financial expert. I don't know. But things are so uncertain. We are back to a time when people are buying gold. I may do some prospecting this weekend. Gold shot up the largest one day ever on the Forbes richest celebrity list. Oprah got passed by Mr. T.
And now, Man Cannon. Our feature presentation.
That guy has never been better since he actually came out publicly.
Oh, he's the best. He's the most entertaining person on TV.
Yes.
George Takei. He's awesome. Man cannons. Come on. I think they were asking him what his honeymoon was going to involve. I think that's where that clip came from.
I'm sure it was. That post-secret thing that we just played the replay of about 15 minutes ago, I'm obsessed with that now. Just obsessed.
Really? Have you been looking at the site and stuff?
Well, it's that. He also said at one point that on MySpace, people are giving out their phone numbers.
Oh, that's right.
Because they want texts. So I spent some of yesterday texting, and I just nothing's making me happier. Just really stupid things like I'm thinking of tattooing my penis black. You know, just like dumb.
It's not going to make it bigger. I know that's been your plan for a long time.
But
you know, it doesn't work that way, right?
I just want these people to, you know, they're probably getting a lot of real stuff. I just figured I would, you know, give them some fun stuff. So
do any of them text you back?
I have gotten one text back where they were laughing. LOL.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
You have to start watching Gossip Girl now that you've been involved in a text with the letters LOL in it.
Yeah,
now
true.
Now you're part of the club. I'm sorry.
If I had to pick a favorite body part, it would be my butthole. That was another one that I said.
And that's how you spent your day yesterday.
Nothing makes me happier. I really don't know why. It's so great.
It was weird. Super interesting dude, that Frank Warren. And I didn't get a chance to ask him this on the air. But he told us off the air that it's his full-time job. He's making a living doing it because of the books that, let's face it, 99% of the work is done by other people. All he has to do is organize them and turn them in. And
yeah,
he's making a living off. I mean, God bless him, right? Brilliant idea. But it is interesting how it has expanded beyond just him posting postcards into some sort of a community that people seem to really be responding to. I think that's what's held his interest for so many years on the project, is because it's fascinating to see what it has done to people.
Well, that story that he told about getting the postcard from the person who was sitting in a movie theater waiting for somebody else alone to come into the movie theater. And then he told us that you know, then they started wearing white hats and they would post it, and you know, thousands of people around the country would be doing it.
Yes.
That's bizarre.
It's pretty remarkable, yeah. There are some people that are definitely out there looking for a connection. But I would suggest that white pants instead of white hats,
right,
you'd get a lot more people showing up at the theater.
And the other thing I was thinking about that is really how, if your idea of meeting somebody is in a dark theater where you annoy people if you even say a word, aren't there thousands of other places that would be a little bit better of an opportunity? Because basically they come in and sit down and you look at them and they look at you and you go, hey, you single? Yeah, I'm single. Okay, let's wait for an hour and a half and then we can chat. I don't understand that really.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work in logistically in real life, because you're right. They couldn't go, hey,
right,
you're a secret. Yeah, me too.
It just, right. It's the least conducive place ever.
Unless it's just you're looking for the kind of person who thinks like you do, that, hey, I'm going to go to the movies and dream. I mean, those are sad, lonely people. Let's face it. If you're going to the movies hoping to meet somebody,
yeah,
it's pretty sad.
I know. I mean,
how about a strip club or something, you know? call George Michael. Get a map to the men's room. Do something.
Millions of other places that seem like it would be a little bit better.
Fascinating project, though. 4 best-selling books out of that post-secret already.
I know. That's crazy.
And what did he tell us he gets? 1,000 a week or something?
Yes, 1,000 new postcards a week. I can't imagine most of them are as interesting as the ones that we were highlighting, but...
But you only need a few.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he puts up 20 a week or something like that. So he's got plenty to choose from. So we'll let it keep us posted on your texting project.
I sent him a text yesterday that said, "I don't think Clay Aiken is gay." For example, that was my secret.
Good call on that.
Yeah, and then Clay Aiken comes out yesterday and says he's gay.
Well,
and a nation yawns. It was unbelievable. Really, you're gay? Really? Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, and it's the 24th of September.
Ah! Yeah! Oh.
Oh. Anna?
Giggity, giggity.
Yes.
Very nice. Well done, Michael.
Thank you.
Do we continue with this all the way through Foxtober?
I'd like to
challenge Michael. I'd like to see just how many sound effects he could come up with.
And then we wouldn't have to come in till like 8:15.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we can talk about that. Historically, of course, we do come up with a new sound for each month, but maybe that might be fun. I think there's some potential in Foxtober, too. I think there's some Megan Fox-related stuff that we can do.
Each day it would be a different Megan Fox quote or something.
Yes, maybe a clip, a groan, a moan, a sigh, from each of her performances.
Which are always spectacular, by the way.
She's the best. I miss her.
You've never had her.
I know, but I still miss her. I want her to live in my life.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? The creators of Little Britain, which is a TV show that's been on in England for how long?
Several years.
Several years, yeah.
Several years, 4 or 5 years, I think.
All right. So we're going to have them in the studio today. We're going to talk to Dr. Mo. He's a friend of ours. He's a doctor, of course. And we're going to talk about this ridiculously stupid David Blaine stunt.
Mm-hmm.
The dive of death or whatever it is he's calling it.
I think that's how the stunt is supposed to end. I think he's been hanging upside down since Monday sometime.
And then he's going to let go and then he's going to dive in. It could be his most successful or it could be his last. See, because he might die.
Sure. Like with all of his stunts. By the way, we need to do some research on this. I heard yesterday that he is taking 10 minutes off per hour.
Well, yeah, I think you're allowed to.
Really?
Well,
is it really hanging upside down for 60 hours if you're only hanging upside down for... I mean, it seems like whatever damage was going to be done, whatever serious damage was going to be done by the risk of hanging upside down for that long, you dissipate most of that each hour by turning right side up.
Yeah, I guess so.
I know, impressive to me if you can do that.
I know in Guinness, when we try to set records, they always have you a little bit of time off. But you're right, it's the cumulative effect of hanging upside down that would destroy you.
Yeah. I mean, all the doctors who come out and go, well, he could worry about going blind. I mean, maybe that's true if you're hanging upside down for 24 hours. But if you're hanging upside down for 45 minutes at a time, I don't know how much risk there is. And I don't know. And I'd be curious to see how much that's mentioned on the show tonight. That, or how
that
much
he gets 10 minutes off?
Yeah.
They're just going to
make it look like it's been nonstop since Monday.
Did you say it's a 2-hour show tonight or just an hour?
I didn't say that, but I think it might be.
Oh, that is going to be the biggest waste of time ever. That's going to make the Emmys look entertaining. So anyway, we're going to talk to Dr. Mo and find out. And since it's called the Dive of Death, if he's here, if he's with us tomorrow, I want my money back. I'm going to sue. We also have Sam Rockwell on the program today talking about the new movie Choke.
Can't wait.
We have You Dated People Before They Were Famous. We had a story about a stripper named Nikita, by the way, who was dating Megan Fox. So that's all good. Osama bin Laden putting out some poetry now, which I think is nice. That's a nice touch. Poetry from Osama bin Laden. That's what we've been waiting for.
I wonder if it will involve the infidel.
Gee. I wonder. That's a good question.
I wonder how many poems are named Death to America.
And also on the program today, we have Stuart Townsend talking about a new movie that he's involved with.
Oh, wow. How's Ralph going to handle the speed bump coming in?
I don't know. We were trying to get Charlize Theron to come in with him, but apparently her schedule didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
But she is in this movie, and he is coming into the studio today, so we can talk about that.
I know that you know that we all want to dislike Mr. Townsend because he has Charlize, but by all accounts, super good dude, good actor, and apparently, according to the reviews I've seen on the new film, good director too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to hate on him, you know?
And this film is about people who hate Seattle, and they just want to destroy it because it blows.
It's a bad city,
and they just want to take it down.
I don't think that's it as much as it is the protesters at the WTO riots during their convention here in 1999.
Well, that's the cover. And K-Rock's 100 Days of Metallica continue. Listen every night at 7 o'clock to score your free tickets to see Metallica. That's what we're doing right now. 100 Days of Metallica. I think we're at day 12.
Okay.
Last night, the guy calls in to win the Metallica tickets during Nicole's shift, and he doesn't sound very excited. And finally, he puts his 55-year-old mom on the phone, and she's like, "All right, I made him call for me. I really wanted the Metallica tickets." She's going bonkers. She's like, "I can't believe it! I finally won."
His mom.
Yeah, the kid was like 19.
That's so awesome. My parents, they're so not the ones that would want to go to Metallica.
Yeah.
They That would make their heads explode.
And this kid sounded like as if he had no excitement whatsoever regarding Metallica.
He didn't care.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Well, you know what's weird is that he probably looks at it, if you grow up with parents who love Metallica, as his parents' band.
Yeah.
Could, yeah.
He'll be like Kevin's kids getting excited about, you know, the Rolling Stones or something. It just doesn't mean anything to him probably, you know?
Yeah, that's probably true.
He wants to go see Chingy.
Yeah, now you're talking.
All right, we will take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Hey, Ralph Garman, how are you?
Hi, Bean Baxter, how are you?
Fine.
Great.
Ralph is growing the evil facial hair again.
I do need the evil facial hair, yes.
He's got the goatee of
reprise
of death.
My role as Charles Cliphouse on 10 Times or Less.
Yes, oh. I am returning to conquer basic cable, people.
Thank God.
I am the king of basic cable.
I felt that they left your storyline. I was kind of unfulfilled with the way your storyline wrapped up, and I'm glad that they're having you back to answer some of my questions that I've been sitting on.
You didn't even watch.
Well, that is true.
Yes.
Is it still 10 items or less? Is that still the name of the show?
It is. Yeah.
Yes.
No. Well, it's 11 items or less because it's a new season.
I'm not likely to watch it again this time.
They added an item. Remember when my episode was on? Bean was the only guy who didn't watch the episode.
Yeah. He can't be bothered.
Big guest starring role in a TV show.
Yep.
I'm very busy.
No, I didn't see it.
Did you see Two for the Money?
I did. I did see that.
All right. Just checking.
I did see that.
Wouldn't have surprised me.
Hey, I thought when I saw the evil facial hair, I thought this was going to be part of your intimidation technique for the speed bump coming in today. I thought this was going to be the way you were going to beat him down by how macho you are.
Listen, speed bump and I, we're going to have to work something out. I'm glad today's happening because this has been coming to a head for some time. And I think the part I feel bad about is Charlize obviously loves us both. And I think she's the one that suffers when we have this feud like this.
Because she's getting pulled in both directions.
Exactly. Oh. And I think it just breaks her heart to see the two men in her life, you know, have this animosity towards each other. So I think for Charlize's benefit, Stuart and I are going to have to bury the hatchet and try to make peace.
What percentage of her time would you say that you take, and what percentage of her time would you say that Stuart takes?
Well, I mean, our relationship has ended and we've moved on to new people. I mean, I'm married now and she's very happy with Stuart, but you can't ever completely extinguish those flames that we had. So, you know, I know Stuart is the man in her life now, but come on, it's obvious she still thinks about me.
She ever call you and say,
"Suck it"?
No, I don't remember her ever calling saying that. No, no.
Not since you broke up.
But, you know, Stuart and I think we'll work something.
Throw down?
Yeah, we'll throw down. Actually, I watched Battle in Seattle last night.
Oh, you did?
His new feature film. And it is remarkably well done. He's a really good writer-director. He did a great job with this film.
It's a story that I didn't know much about and, to be honest, didn't care much about, but I watched the trailer and I thought, that looks like a fascinating story.
Here's the thing. I am much more aware than you.
Yes.
And yet I still was not familiar with this story. And it was a big deal.
It was a very big deal. As someone who lived through it, it was a very big deal. I mean, it was shocking that it happened. That kind of violence would break out over those sorts of issues.
Did you get a TV?
I did not get a TV.
Well, then what good are you?
But it's fascinating. It's, you know, the backdrop is the riots in Seattle around the World Trade Organization conference that happened in 1999. But it is a fictionalized version of that in the sense that they have created characters that they place in the story, and you follow these people through the experience. And on that level, it works completely as a drama, but it also carries a lot of impact about you know, the corporatization of the world and you know, developing countries, how they're being ignored, and the greed and the politics involved with this sort of thing. And it's fascinating, and I think it's sort of important that everyone kind of see it, because there's a lot going on. I mean, especially in the light of what's been happening the past couple of weeks with corporate America and Wall Street and all that kind of stuff going on. It certainly is relevant. So
I just remember, I know we'll talk more with Mr. Townsend, the director, later. I just remember at the time thinking that, like with so many other things, a few dicks are ruining the good intention and the First Amendment protected right to protest of hundreds of other people.
Yes.
I mean, there were people who ruined it for everybody by turning it from a peaceful protest, just would have been fine, into what it ended up being, which was something that cost the city, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars.
The nice thing about the film is it's very even-handed. It really doesn't take sides. It kind of shows you that everybody that was in the mix was sort of a victim of circumstance. You had these peaceful protesters who were just trying to make a point. You had the police who were just trying to do their job. You've got the mayor of the city who's just trying to... just trying to protect his city, and at the same time also be welcoming to this huge convention, which means a lot of money for the city, and he is trying to deal with the White House and the governor's office. They're putting pressure on him. Everyone just was between a rock and a hard place, and it's a shame that things escalated the way they did, but very, very interesting film and really well done. So.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was crazy.
That was one of the protesters.
Great cast, too. I mean, for a little tiny independent film, luckily, you know, Stewart and Charlize, I guess, know a lot of cool people that they can tap on the shoulder and say, hey, you want to do this.
But so Woody Harrelson owns a basketball team.
Wrong. He's a SWAT officer in this film. But Woody Harrelson is in it. Ray Liotta is in it. Joshua Jackson has a small role. Charlize, of course, is in it. It's a great cast and really well done.
Fantastic.
Look forward to that. He'll be here in the 8 o'clock hour, the speed bump I'm talking about. It's 5:56. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday morning. What else going on,
that was
Ralph?
The movie beat. I'm done.
That was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now let's talk about entertainment news, shall we? Still giving you updates on the terrible plane crash that took the lives of four people and severely burned Travis Barker and DJ AM. Apparently, Nicole Richie, DJ AM's ex-fiance, simply broke down after hearing the horrific news, while sources close to him say that he's already getting better and he's managing to text message a few close friends. So that's the first thing Dave would do if he was on recovery for some burns. Travis Barker, however, not doing as well as DJ AM. He is still recuperating, although he has been through a series of operations. Skin grafts after suffering major burns on his torso and lower body. And Travis, according to a spokesperson, is trying to stay upbeat. But as you can imagine, he's in a lot of pain, and he's got a long road to hoe. But apparently, he's on his way. So that is good.
How long till he can get tattoos on the new skin?
I think they can just do it all at once. I think
while he's in surgery,
they found a donor that was severely tatted for the skin grafts, and they're just—it's pretty much a tattoo transplant at this point. So that works out well. Well, what's this clip we have, Psycho Mike? This is Samantha Ronson talking about the crash.
Lindsay Lohan calling into Loveline Sunday night to talk about the
because
crash.
Samantha was on Loveline.
Yes,
right. Yes, right. Samantha Ronson was on Loveline on Sunday night, was it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Lindsay calls in to tell Dr. Drew she's got bumps all over her vagina. And he goes,
I think she was talking about her friend DJ AM, I think is what the clip's about.
Okay.
You know, AM's been a great friend to me, and he's such a good guy, and Travis is a great guy as well, and amazing father. So it was all really scary, and little Chris, God bless his soul, I knew him well too. So it's very saddening, but thank God that the other guys are alive. Thank God they have amazing guardian angels.
Apparently during that interview, Lindsay confirmed her relationship with Samantha Ronson and said they have been together for some time.
Yep. Which everyone
shocking. Thank God K-Rock got the scoop.
I have that too if you want that.
Yeah, sure.
You and Samantha have been going out for how long now? Like 2 years? 1 year? 5 months? 2 months?
A long, very long time.
Well, good. Well, I hope you guys stay together. You're a very lovely looking couple.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Stryker's a liar.
Half of you.
Very lovely looking couple, except for half of you.
So this happened, and now there's like memos going around the station. You must play this news. We have the scoop. We have the scoop of Lindsay Lohan. Like, you must play it. Every showbiz beat, you must play this, and it must be talked about. We are K-Rock. We rule. It's like, hey, everyone relax. She didn't say, yeah, it's true. I have a penis. She said, we've been going out. That's what she said.
Which we all knew.
Everyone, just take a breath. Okay? I know. Yeah. Lindsay Lohan said she's going out with Samantha Ronson. All right. Okay, we got it. I know. We are K-Rock.
That.
Speaking of things everyone knew, Clay Aiken has announced Wait for it. Yes, I'm gay.
That can't possibly be.
He's on the cover of People magazine holding his infant son with the headline, "Yes, I'm gay." Didn't Lance Bass already do this on People magazine?
Yeah.
It's kind of a retread.
Yeah.
In an exclusive interview, Clay says, "I cannot raise a child to lie or hide things." Gay.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
Bean?
Yes.
Anything?
I think he's lying because he wants gay people to buy his records. That's, I think it's a cover.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think
about.
He's
that's
just coming out and saying it because it's trendy and popular.
That's my boy. That's Bean, Bean, Bean.
I'm just saying he's doing it for the publicity. I mean, how else is Clay Aiken going to get on the cover of People magazine? He's not selling the way he used to. I think it's very calculated. He's a very smart, heterosexual, talented young man.
Yes, he is. Megan Fox says she's extremely boring. All women should be so boring.
Yeah,
in
no
my
kidding.
Opinion. She tells AbsoluteNow.com. AbsoluteNow.com. Is it just? Can we just stop it with the websites? Let's put a moratorium. No more new websites. And you have to run your name by us first before you get to have one. AbsoluteNow.com.
A little less AbsoluteNow.com interviewing Megan Fox and a little more Kevin and Bean, by the way.
She won't talk to you.
How
she
dare
says
you?
She's not on the Hollywood party scene. She spends her time at home with has-been actors from 90210 and has no intention of dancing on tables or falling down drunk because she sees what it's done to other celebrities.
Come on.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Doesn't mean she can't get out of a limousine without panties on, though, right?
That's yeah. still good. How about a little something, yeah.
That's still good, right?
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
That'd be sweet.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Kyle Sullivan from Malcolm in the Middle is 20 years old today. Hard to believe. Little kid from Malcolm in the Middle is already 20. Nina Vardalos from My Big Fat Greek Wedding. It's a big fat 46. Gordon Clatt, my old co-star from NYPD Blue, is 60 years old today.
Wasn't he gone about 10 years before you worked on that
show?
No,
Gordon made it the whole way. He lasted the entire
series.
Oh,
did he?
Series.
Okay.
Yeah. Guess you weren't watching me on NYPD Blue either, just like you were ignoring me on 10 items or less.
I meant to. Missed it.
Yeah. CNN's Lou Dobbs is 63 years old today. And Kevin Sorbo, who played Hercules on television, is 50 years old today. Flimsiest Hercules ever, by the way, Kevin Sorbo. Looked like a guy who maybe worked out on the weekends, mostly playing basketball with his friends, and maybe the Thigh Master. Or maybe he had sort of a solo flex in his rec room that he would hit once or twice a week. Not Hercules.
Not at all.
Give me Steve Reeves every day, baby.
Yeah.
Massive Steve Reeves. Breaking chains and whatnot. Hercules. Kevin Sorbo. Flimsy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Also, what's up with David Blaine? Will he really die on his ABC special tonight? And by the way, why do we keep continuing to refer to him as a magician? He's not doing magic, right? There's nothing magic about hanging upside down by your feet.
Nope. Hasn't done magic in years.
Exactly. All of that coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show, and keep listening for 100 Days of Metallica, too. We'll tell you about that on the way. First, though, let's go to the Kevin and Bean email bag. We get a lot of emails on a lot of topics. We can't always write you back. We do try, but from time to time, we like to read some of them on the air. And here's one from a longtime listener who says this. Dear Kevin and Bean, I was working with my iTunes the other day, and I came across a 1998 Kevin and Bean Christmas CD. I don't even remember which one that is. I barely remember that we used to do Christmas CDs. But listen to this and what was included therein. I decided to listen to the family greeting, and what do I hear? On the CD, Kevin promising not to talk to the Armenian comedian ever again.
What year was this?
1998.
Yeah, I lied.
And we just had him on about a week ago. Also, in the same piece, Bean said he was signing off, leaving the show, and was planning to move to Finland with Tyra Banks to raise bees.
Oh.
I can't help but think, as I listened to the tape, you guys, how those promises worked out. Imagine how great the world would be with no Armenian comedian, no Bean, and no Tyra Banks. Talk about heaven on earth. Thanks for a bunch of lies, Craig. P.S. To Ralph, the new guy, you should have left while you had the chance. So sorry for your pain. So apparently it's like, I guess you go back to the 1998, 10 years ago, Christmas CD. It's like a time capsule of all of our hopes and dreams back then, none of which came true.
We were talking about George Michael yesterday and how he got caught again in a public restroom in a park.
Uh-huh.
And he had a bunch of drugs on him. And we were saying we didn't know if he was there for sex or to buy drugs or whatever. And Jody in Huntington Beach writes, hello, the drugs are a lure to pay off any crackhead in exchange for sex. Isn't it obvious? I guess that makes sense as well.
Very possible. Unless it was a hotbed for both, for buying and selling drugs and for buying and selling sex, where maybe, yeah, maybe she's absolutely right. That's a good point. I tuned in. I now know what a mistake it was, but I did tune in on Sunday night for the Emmys. And there's nothing worse than hearing these words at the start of the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Oprah Winfrey.
I mean, that was a sucker punch right there, because she wasn't advertised as being there. And you shouldn't spring Oprah on the unsuspecting public, because if you don't want to watch Oprah, you shouldn't have to watch Oprah.
And whoever came out to the microphone, whoever person that was, ate Oprah two times over, by the way.
I think so. One day last week, we were talking about how Oprah's ratings are starting to decline. Kevin, I don't know if you saw this story or not, but over the summer, she's having the worst ratings she's ever had. In some cities, now granted, these are reruns, but they are every summer. In some cities, Oprah's show is coming in fourth in the time slot.
Wow.
Which is just unheard of, because you know what a huge ratings grabber she's been for years. And I was wondering on the air if it was because she's been so outspoken for Barack Obama, if maybe that's turning off a lot of people who don't want to hear her talk about politics or disagree with her on politics. Maybe they're not watching the show. Vic writes in, and I think he's got a pretty good theory, too. It's not the conservatives that are upset with her open support of Obama that's hurting her ratings. I think that back when the Democratic Party had two main candidates, one was black, one was female. Both groups that Oprah herself belongs to, but her main audience is decidedly one, and she backed the other, and that thing got ugly. I'm not talking about the primary. I'm talking about Oprah. So there you go. So maybe she just ticked off a lot of women by not supporting Hillary, and now, you know, she's paying for it in the ratings. I don't know.
That thing did get ugly, though, I'll tell you that.
Sure the hell did. We saw that on the Emmys.
Hey, guys, I first heard about the thumb ring back in 1999. The thumb ring, the theory goes, is the same advertisement as white pants.
Right.
And we have not been able to establish that as science as we have the white pants. So this dude first heard about it in 1999 when he was stationed in Germany. It's part of the military. This new girl joined my unit, and one of the first times she partied with us, my supervisor pointed out that she was wearing a thumb ring and said that meant she liked it in the tailpipe. This is 99. This is before we ever heard about white pants.
All right.
She became very embarrassed and denied it big time. That said, a few months later, one of my friends started dating her, and he was never part of the original thumb ring conversation, but he confided in me that she did, in fact, give up the back door to him a couple of times.
Oh.
Later on after that, she broke up with my friend and got with my supervisor, who also later told me that she gave up the back door to him.
Back door! Back door! Back door!
Jared writes, science, proven science.
Well, I mean, it's hard to argue with facts. I mean, you can say what you want, but the guy proved it right there, right?
Howie Mandel. Just saying, wore the thumb ring on the Emmys.
By the way, speaking of thumb rings, Kevin, did you finally catch up with Heroes from Monday night?
No, I didn't yet.
Well, here's an email about that. What it do, White Devils? Anyone notice the shameless Sprint plug in the middle of the second episode of Heroes? This was part two of the two-hour special. And you're starting to see more and more of that on television shows as more and more people are skipping past the commercials on their TiVos and DVRs. Now they're starting to incorporate it into the show. It so jumps out at you as, how could that be part of the script? Did you further notice that Nikki was wearing a pearl necklace during the episode? Andy goes on to ask.
Yeah.
Or that Maya was wearing white pants before Mohinder ripped off her shirt, causing her to show some spectacular side boob. And by the way, pay very close attention to that scene, Kevin. You won't be disappointed in that. And that Mohinder was, in fact, wearing a thumb ring during the same scene. So there's an awful lot to keep track of. There's a lot of juggling going on with stuff that demands your attention on Heroes, but definitely well worth checking out if you haven't seen it yet.
A lot of advertising. By the way, I don't know if you noticed on the Emmys, but I thought there was product placement with the iPhone as one of the categories. They showed people in the audience holding up an iPhone, and then they would zero in on it, and that's how they would show the clip.
Right. That's what I thought at first, too.
Oh, but that's not the case?
Until it went further on, and you saw that not all of those phones were iPhones.
Oh,
some of
them
were other kinds of phones, but that's the exact same thing I thought, too. You know, this show I watch on the Sci-Fi Channel called Eureka, that Lisa May also watches, is a really good show. Every episode, they work degree deodorant into the episode.
How do they do that?
Badly. Badly.
Wow. I mean, I'm nervous. Better go back and put on some more degree.
Talk about taking you out of the show.
Come on. Dear Kevin, so I just got back from my honeymoon in Cancun, and guess what I saw everywhere? People wearing white pants.
Oh, here we go again.
Everywhere I looked, I saw white pants. And I mentioned it to my wife every time I saw it and started cracking up, because I guess everyone in Mexico likes it in the back door. Faithful K&B listener Ross.
White pants! White pants! White pants!
Woo! Yeah!
Her trousers are white. That means that tonight
I'm gaining access to that forbidden son of love, love. You can't deny it. You wanna try it. Your pants let me know that I can try you on like a glove. Find yourself a pillow and bite it. You hold the white pants, you can't hide it. And gay dudes really seem to like it. So just pretend you're in jail. White pants, you're offering up your backside. White pants, you're giving your cornhole up to me. Look, this isn't hearsay, rumor or myth. No, it's proven science. It's like a bullseye drawn on your brown eye. An invitation to tee off on hole number two. Nothing you can do can prevent me from trying out your alternate entry. The message that your white pants sent me is come on, cowboy, it's on. Girl, what's the matter? You're serving poo-poo platter. When I see your pants are white, that's right. White pants, you're offering up your backside. White pants, you're giving your cornhole up to me. Look, this isn't hearsay, rumor, or myth. No, it's proven science. White pants, white pants, white pants, white pants.
You dated people before they were famous.
Yeah.
You let them go or they let you go, and then the next thing you know, they're on TV and you're going, or in movies, and you're going, hey, I was...
Somewhere out there is a stripper who used to dance by the name of Nikita, who could still be with Megan Fox today if she'd played her cards right. Please call us, Nikita. Well, Kevin, you'd be excited to know that the election is in less than 6 weeks.
Oh, that still sounds like forever.
I know.
This election cycle has been going on since I was born.
It does seem that way. I mean, we do have years behind us, but we are in the home stretch. In fact, the first of the, I believe, three presidential debates is going to be Friday night on all the channels. And it's just getting ridiculous now. It's getting to the point where every candidate is being examined with a microscope. And anything that you eat, anything that you wear, anything that you own is now being questioned and being used as ammunition by the other side.
Is it true that that's the softest toilet paper that you've ever used, sir? That kind of questioning is going on now.
You said back in 1999 that it wasn't, right. And now that you say it is, why did you lie about it? So you remember the flap a few weeks ago about John McCain, it turned out. And by the way, John McCain, first of all, he's a straight baller because he's like so rich. But second of all, he married this woman who owns, you know, who's her fortune is in beer distributorship. I mean, talk about... She's like 25 years younger than him, and she's a beer millionaire. I mean, how do you fault a guy for that, right?
And you get free beer, right?
Well, of course, there was the controversy because it turned out that he has seven houses, and people were saying, how do you call Barack Obama the elitist? He's got one house, you've got seven. So he managed to weather that storm. But now Newsweek has done an investigation to find out that Barack and Michelle Obama have the one car. John and Cindy McCain, apparently 13? Is that the number I'm hearing?
13 cars. Yeah. Newsweek looked into it, and they looked at all the public records, and they found out that he has 13 cards. So it's time for Cribs, John McCain style.
Hey, Senator. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin DeBede Show.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, my homie?
I'm sorry. We thought we'd be talking with Senator John McCain from Arizona.
You are talking to him. I'm just what? Bumping in my ride, yo.
Wow, how about that? Listen, Senator, could you turn the radio down a little bit, please?
If it's too loud, you're too old.
Well, maybe that's the case. Look, I don't blame you,
Senator.
Your wife.
We can't hear it, even us.
I don't care.
All right, okay. Listen, I don't blame you and your wife for having all the houses and all the cars. I mean, if you could afford it, go for it. But there are some people who say maybe you're the one who's a little bit elitist, a little bit out of touch.
They're just hating on me, yo.
Because you're balling.
That's right. Because I'm straight balling. They can't take it because they want to keep the black man down.
You're not a black man.
I'm not a black man.
That's okay. The other guy. So you have 13 vehicles.
That's right. I'm rolling deep, yo.
Now, you are rolling deep because apparently your primary car, the one that you most drive personally, is a 2004 Cadillac CTS, which sounds like a pretty sweet ride.
Oh, you have no idea. I've got alligator seat covers. I got spinners on it. I've even got a jack-in-the-box antenna ball.
You are rolling deep.
Oh, I look so fly when I go down the street in that ride.
Yeah.
All the little shorties go, woo-woo!
I'm not sure you can pull that off, Senator McCain.
I can pull it off.
All right.
Because I'm going to raise the roof. I'm going to... Oh, I can't lift my arms.
Oh,
crap.
That's just sad.
I hate when that happens.
You can figuratively raise the roof.
Yeah, but I can't go whoop, whoop.
Yeah, true.
I just go...
All right. Let's see what else you've got in the various garages around the country. You got a 2007 half-ton Ford pickup truck, which I guess you can use out on the ranch in Arizona. That sounds like a good one, right?
That's right. That's what I carry my mad bling in, yo.
All right, you got something called a Willys Jeep, a vintage model from 1960.
That's right. That's my OG ride. That's when I go out to impress the honeys in the 1960 Jeep.
Are you still impressing the honeys?
You have no idea.
I don't.
Imagine how much Kaylee's going to get if he's president. Oh, what now?
We fly high, bitch.
Jay-Z.
That's very right, nice. I'm big pimpin', yo.
What's your favorite Jay-Z song?
Big Pimpin'.
Big Pimpin', yeah.
Let's see, Senator, you got a 2008 Jeep Wrangler, a 2000 Lincoln, a 2001 GMC SUV. You've got three of these GEM electric vehicles, I guess, which are popular in the retirement communities, this Newsweek article says.
Oh, that makes the old biddies go nuts. When I cruise by in my GEM, I just crank this.
He's going to get the youth vote now.
More money, more problems.
More money, more problems.
Yeah,
you know?
Isn't that the truth, huh?
It takes a lot of cash to keep 13 rides rolling.
Right,
I bet it
but
does.
I don't care, because it's worth it.
It's also not your money.
Because I'm a pimp.
You're not a big pimp.
I don't think you're a pimp.
I'm a pimp.
I don't think you're a pimp.
Pimp my VP, yo.
I'm not worthy.
You're not worthy?
Of our next guests. I don't even care about the showbiz beat. I just want to go
all
right
the little
to them.
Britain dudes, I know you're a big fan of theirs.
Oh, Matt Lucas and David Walliams are two of the funniest people on the planet. If you're not watching Little Britain on BBC America, it's been on for like 4 years. You're just missing out. But you will have a chance to see them on their new series, Little Britain USA, which I know sounds like an oxymoron, but they're taking all the characters from the Little Britain show and they're bringing them to America on HBO this year, and I just can't wait. They're just so brilliant.
Well, we'll get a chance to tell him that when we talk to him coming up after the news at 7. Also, actor, director, speed bump, Stuart Townsend, director of Charlize Theron's new movie called Battle in Seattle, coming up on the program today. Actor Sam Rockwell and What's Up with David Blaine? Would You Please Just Die Already? All of that straight ahead at 6:53. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Wednesday. What's going on?
When did we stop believing that Americans could tell the difference between a joke and something serious? When did that happen? Exactly what... At what time did we cross that line and lose that ability as a nation?
That's a great question.
Conan O'Brien, which can be seen late nights, of course, on NBC Channel 4, was doing a sketch about smashing celebrity douchebags together.
Right.
Tying them to high-speed velocity items and smashing them together. Like Spencer and... I forget the other douchebag he smashed him with.
But Chris Angel?
Like something like that.
Yeah.
And so he was doing the bit. He had done it before. He was doing the bit on his show, Late Night, with Conan O'Brien. And NBC didn't think we could take it because apparently he made some reference to trains colliding together.
Right.
And in light of the disaster in Chatsworth, apparently NBC thought we'd all just have strokes. We would just fall over.
Because he was referring specifically to that tragedy?
Actually, no, he wasn't. He was talking in general terms about trains colliding at high
speed.
But
he had an audience full of family members of the people who were on the train.
No. Once again, this was being shot in New York, and he was just making a reference to any two trains colliding. But because there was a train accident, and what time in the world, we're not capable of discerning the fact that one is purely a comic setup and the other was a real-life tragedy. We are not able to compartmentalize those two events.
So they did not do the sketch? Didn't air the sketch?
They aired the show, but during that segment, they cut into Colleen Williams for an election update.
Really?
So insulting. Here's the audio from how it went down.
Now, we didn't build this to advance knowledge. We just thought it would be fun to smash stuff together at high speeds. We were wondering what would be the best thing to smash together at high speeds. Tiny particles, pieces of light. And then the obvious answer came together, celebrity douchebags. We thought if you could smash them together at high speeds, that'd be pretty cool. So a few weeks back, we premiered our Super Collider on the show by smashing together celebrity douchebags, The Hill, Spencer Pratt, and Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Hi, everyone. I'm Colleen Williams from the Channel 4 Newsroom. We'll be going back to Conan in just a couple of minutes. Right now in New York, though, Conan is doing a comedy routine about trains crashing. And we feel with our recent train collision here in Southern California, it is just not appropriate for us to show it. In the meantime, though, here are some of the stories making news this morning. The financial crisis and...
Are you kidding me?
A news update. Because we can't handle it. We can't discern the difference.
See, here's the difference. People used to get their feelings hurt, and the networks or whoever's in charge would go, okay, sorry for you.
Obviously, that wasn't what we intended.
But let's roll with it. And now they butt in with the news anchor and tell you that they don't think we could deal with it.
We can't deal with it. So if I can deal with it, I still can't watch what Conan O'Brien is doing. It's preemptive censorship is what it is.
Wow.
It's so sad.
By the way, he never said the word trains at all. He said two things colliding at high
but
speeds.
During when they cut away, apparently during the segment, he does reference like trains colliding together. But it's just a passing reference, basically.
Wow, so the newsroom interrupts.
Yep.
F them.
It's the world we live in, people. I thought that was fascinating.
Oh, you.
Let's talk about something more upbeat, shall we? The Village People were honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yesterday.
Yes. Are there any of them that are still alive?
Oh, yes, oh. Kevin. David Hodo. The construction worker.
Wait.
The original.
His last name's Hodo?
Hodo. H-O-D-O.
Oh, I was about to...
David Hodo. The original construction worker. He's been there since day one of the Village People, have you
known? Wow. How old must he be, by the way? And how bad must he look?
Original cowboy Jeff Olson was there. The Native American Philippe Rose. And both the current cop, Ray Simpson, and the original cop, Victor Willis, were in attendance.
Were they staring daggers at each other?
Oh, I'm the real cop. No, I'm the real cop, bitch. No, I am, bitch. By the way, if you'd like to visit their star, it is at 6529 Hollywood Boulevard, just one block north of the Hollywood YMCA.
See?
It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
How do they get to that in 2008? How does it... Either not happened back then or never happened.
It really should have never happened.
I don't understand that.
I'm just thinking about a sad little Cape Crusader weeping in a farm in Idaho right now.
Yeah.
Adam
just
West, no star.
Thinking about who's got the star and who doesn't.
David Hodo got his star.
Wow.
Finally, Felipe Rose, the American Indian. And with a name like Felipe Rose, you know he's got to be full-blooded Cherokee.
Sure.
What the F?
It is weird that they chose them, and I know that they're, you know, icons for some people, but, I mean, there's hundreds, thousands of more popular musical acts over the last 50 years that don't have stars.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yes!
It's like they're going out and trying to, they're out, and they're just trying to find anybody that did something sometime.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Is one of those bands that doesn't have a star.
Yes, does not have a star.
Good point.
You know, they're on tour right now.
Yes is?
Yes.
Uh-huh. No.
Yes. But here's the thing. They've got John Anderson. You know, John Anderson, the lead singer for Yes for many years.
Sure. ESPN host?
No.
Also host?
This is John Anderson, J-O-N Anderson. He, unfortunately...
Bam Anderson?
No, John Anderson.
Oh.
He has been sidelined with acute respiratory failure.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So what does the band do?
They take some time off?
They go out and they hire a singer from a tribute band.
Oh, not again.
To fill in for John Anderson.
It's getting to the point now where if you're a lead singer of a classic rock band, you can't afford to be sick a day because you'll be replaced by the tribute guy.
Apparently, this came as a surprise to fans and John Anderson.
They found out
in the hospital that they were going on tour without him and they had replaced him with a tribute band singer.
Wow.
He says on his website this week he feels disrespected. I can imagine that.
Yes.
He said the band refused to wait until 2009 when he'd fully recovered
and instead they hired another singer, and they will be touring without him.
Is he Filipino too, by the way?
The new singer, I believe.
Like the guy from Journey?
Yeah. So, in combination of my first story, which was about gay singers, and my second story, which was about ailing singers, mm-hmm. Pete Wentz.
Oh!
He's extremely excited about Fall Out Boy's upcoming album. He says because it's the first record he'll be able to play for his soon-to-be-born baby. He says he feels more pressure to impress his newborn than he does the record label.
Is his newborn going to go, yeah, thumbs down?
Not a big fan, Dad. Oh, I hope it's a chick, or else he's screwed, because it's a boy and he plays that music. He will curl up his chubby little infant fist and just punch him right in the nuts.
Give it up!
And Pamela Anderson was forced to face the world.
Pam Anderson?
Without makeup the other day.
Uh-oh.
Apparently she was staying in Paris, France, and fire alarms started going off at her 5-star hotel where she was staying. And she had to evacuate. Apparently, Pam had no makeup on at the time, and one source said she was mortified to be seen in a bathrobe and curlers.
Sure.
Witnesses said she looked more like an old woman than a renowned sex symbol.
Pam Anderson?
Are you kidding me?
That hurts.
She begged officials to let her sneak through the kitchen to avoid the public, but her request was denied, and she had to walk out to face 200 other hotel guests who all started screaming her name when they saw her.
Pam Anderson?
Or just screaming.
Yeah.
Apparently,
she scared
doesn't them look all that sexy at 5 o'clock in the morning without makeup.
Yeah. Well, how old is she? I mean, she is...
40?
40? I thought I would have guessed late 40s, but
no,
I don't know.
Not that
I don't think so. I don't think she's that old. I saw an interview with, of all people, Dolly Parton this week, who's got to be in her 60s. And she said because of this exact thing that happened to Pam Anderson, that she will not go to bed unless she is fully made up. She says she sleeps in her makeup in the event that there's a fire and she has to go out so she doesn't look bad. I swear to God.
She looks bad with makeup, though. That's the difference.
She looks fine for her age, but I'm saying she doesn't want to be like Pam Anderson, end up outside with no makeup on. So that's what
looks all hideous.
That's the fear. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And speaking of hideous, Michael Lohan probably won't be talking to his daughter, Lindsay Lohan, anytime soon. This guy loves him some him and some celebrity and some publicity. He sent a blog to x17online.com. Uh-huh. Detailing his hatred for Lindsay's girlfriend, Samantha Ronson.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that a dad?
That's sweet.
That's a dad.
Wow.
He accuses Samantha Ronson of using her middle finger more than words and claims that she is a dark, hideous, and disgusting representation of humanity.
Wow.
That's some hate right there. He prays that God will weed her out of Lindsay's life in his statement.
How do people get this way?
Not to mention, if you know anything about parenting, the one surest way to drive your son or daughter into the arms of someone you don't like them dating is to pull this kind of BS.
Absolutely. And publicly, I mean, it's just...
In the meantime, our own Stryker talked to Lindsay on Sunday night. Samantha Ronson was on Loveline, and Lindsay called in to talk about, among other things, the DJ AM Travis Barker tragedy in South Carolina, but also addressed her relationship with Samantha.
Which do you want? You want the
relationship with Samantha?
You and Samantha have been going out for how long now? Like 2 years? 1 year? 5 months? 2 months?
A very long time.
Well, good. Well, I hope you guys stay together. You're a very lovely looking couple.
Thank you very much.
Ah, Stryker. The Ryan Seacrest of our generation.
How dare you?
I'm going to learn from his technique, which is to give multiple choice possibilities for every question.
2 years, 1 year, 5 years, 1 month, 2 months, 3 days, 8 hours? Pick one. And I like that he said you're a good-looking couple and only Lindsay said thank you.
Yeah.
I like that.
The rest of the world said,
what?
Samantha Ronson, not a glued.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Kyle Sullivan. Little Kyle Sullivan from Malcolm in the Middle is 20 years old already. Hard to believe. Nia Vardalos from My Big Fat Greek Wedding is 46. Kevin Sorbo. Flimsy Hercules is 50 years old today. Gordon Clapp from NYPD Blue turned 60. And Lou Dobbs from CNN. He loves him some illegal aliens.
He is
63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman.
Are we dancers or are we human?
Which can't is we it? Be both?
You
can't
gotta
be
pick. Both? Nope. You have to pick.
I am a human being, not a human doing or a human thinking.
That is new music from The Killers, of course, from their forthcoming album. Congratulations to Melissa Zapata, who won this hour's trip to Las Vegas. That qualified, you guys. She's going. Yep. She's on the party plane to Las Vegas to see Killers in concert to support the new record. We're doing it four times a day here on the World Famous K-Rock. So if you love The Killers, you love Vegas, you love both, 7A, 11A, 3P, and 7P, your chance to score a trip from the World Famous K-Rock.
We've got a pretty good record of bringing about half the people back that we send to Vegas. About 50%.
That's pretty
sure.
Good.
That's not bad, right? I mean, yeah. The other 50%, they're on their own. They can figure out what to do.
They're in the desert somewhere.
Ralph, I've never watched Little Britain.
You're an idiot.
Well, that's unrelated. I've also
in this particular case, it's connected.
I've also never watched Little Britain. It's a comedy sketch show that was on in England for a while.
Yes, and also here in the States on BBC America, featuring two brilliantly funny guys named Matt Lucas and David Walliams, and they do all the characters, and they... It's an amazing array of characters, basically an exploration of the British Isles. They would do all these slices of life from around the UK, and it is hysterical, hilarious. So I was thrilled to hear that they were doing a version here in America for HBO, Little Britain USA, which apparently brings some of my favorite characters from the UK version, but they're adding some American characters.
They're not
as
just
well.
Replaying the show that was successful.
No,
there.
This is a brand new series of
fantastic.
Brand new sketches for the audience here in America, and I'm telling you, get the DVDs of the original series, get the CDs of the radio series. It all started as a radio show, and then watch it on HBO as well, because these guys are my comedy gods.
What would you say to them if we told you that they were on the phone right now, Ralph Harmon?
I would say, I am not worthy. I'm not worthy to talk to them.
Matt Lucas and David Walliams, good morning.
Little Britain USA debuts Sunday, September 28th at 10:30 on the HBO. Why, with all the success in Britain, did you decide you want to start from scratch and conquer America?
Well, it's an exciting prospect for any British person, be they, you know, in a band or comedians. And we'd seen the success of contemporaries like Sacha Baron Cohen and Ricky Gervais. And we thought, well, we'll have a bit of that.
We'll take some of that money and fame.
Guys, was there any concern in bringing the characters from Little Britain to the U.S.? I know you've moved some of the characters from the U.K. And now they're like Davitt from Wales is now in South Carolina, I believe it is, on campus. Was any concern? Concerned about making those characters work in an American setting?
Well, it was interesting because, you know, when we were first approaching making the show, we had to work out how to do it. And, you know, one possible idea was to Americanize the characters, you know, and have, instead of having Davitt, the only gay in the village from Wales, we'd have Fernando, you know, from Laredo, Texas. Actually, we felt that would be a bit disingenuous, you know, and that we should play to our strengths. And we also discovered that already, you know, 300,000 DVDs of the British shows had been sold in America. And most importantly, HBO, who we made the show for, were adamant that they wanted us to keep the British characters. So we feel that that plays to our strengths. As for how it'll go down, I mean, as with all the comedy we do, I think we've just got to sit in a room, make each other laugh, and hope other people like it as well.
Yeah, that's what we do here, and it doesn't work most of the time. I have a clip of Marjorie. Tell us about the weight loss expert.
Well, Marjorie is a very off-message weight loss expert. She's some rather racist and homophobic views.
Yes.
She is herself rather overweight, and there's a lot
is
of...
Is that padding?
That is padding that I've acquired over a number of years.
Sure. Yes, it's organic padding.
Yeah.
Organic padding. It's McDonald's and Burger King.
You put on weight for the role.
I put on weight for the role.
Like De Niro in Raging Bull, isn't it?
It's very similar. It's like, was it Matt Damon? Who was it who we saw recently? Pictures of Matt Damon
yes.
looking like
that's
a,
right. Yes.
Like a heifer lump.
I hope he never loses the weight, and then the next Bourne film is really fat.
So the weight loss expert comes to America and realizes something.
There are more fat people in America than there are people. That's why weight loss instructor Marjorie Dawes has come from Britain to dispense some dietary advice.
Hello, fatties. Lovely to see you.
And then you do a skit with Rosie O'Donnell, who... I hate and she's funny, and you guys say really, you know, offensive things
to her.
She's
not famous for her sense of humor
not
about
at
herself.
All.
She's sort of thin-skinned.
Why do you hate Rosie?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. But
Well, here in the States, she's known to be rather thin-skinned about criticism and that sort of thing. She sort of reacts in a sort of violent way on her blog and her website.
And that's why what you guys say to her
is remarkable.
It actually makes me like her. It's the first thing that's ever made me like her.
Rosie, yes. You, and I know you won't mind me saying it, you have had issues with your weight.
I have.
You have. She has. She's big. She's a big lady. She's a big lesbian lady.
Well, you know, Marjorie, here in America, a lot of us have weight issues. It affects us.
Oh, are you fat because you're a lesbian, or are you a lesbian because you're fat?
What does that mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, did you find it hard to get a man because of the weight and then think maybe I'll go lesbian?
Finally, somebody asked her that question that we've all been debating privately for years.
It's quite extreme, that sketch, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I love it.
That's why it's great.
We are talking to Matt and David, the creators and stars of Little Britain USA again, debuting at 10:30 on September 28th. That's Sunday, by the way, on HBO. Here's a question that I've wondered, being Brits coming to our country. Do you get a little bit of an advantage because everything that comes out of your mouth in a British accent sounds classy and acceptable? You don't get that advantage back home where they all talk like that, but we Americans, we kind of look up to and respect the Brits.
I'm actually disappointed we don't get more respect. But I've been to New York before, and people have said, America said, "You from Australia?"
And you love that, right?
Oh. But I don't know. I suppose you're made to think you're a bit special because you're British, but actually no one really seems to care that much in America.
No, but it does stand out a little bit, you know, from everything that we hear, and for some reason that accent means classy.
It's another reason why I think we made the right decision in not trying to make the show, you know, not trying to Americanize the characters. But having said that, unlike the original British shows that we did, which are a celebration of life in Britain, these new shows are a celebration of the special relationship between the British and the Americans. And so probably 30 or 40% of the characters that we do are brand new in the new shows, and they are American. We have attempted American accents.
I don't know how much time you guys have spent in the States in your long career, but do you find a lot of differences between Britain and America? Or are there things about this country that really surprise you or confound you?
You have to. They're very keen on ID over here, aren't they? If you go to a shop and say, "I'd like to purchase a banana, please," they say, "You got any ID?"
That is true.
Yeah. ID. That's, you know, it's the same with grapes, watermelon, anything you want to buy.
You don't have to show ID in Britain?
No, I mean, you can get away with murder.
Well, if you're just going to let people buy grapes willy-nilly without any kind of identification, no wonder your country's got troubles.
You know, you guys had such wild success with the show in England, and was there any pressure at all coming over here and putting it on that perhaps it might not go as well? Does that factor in at all when you decide to do something like this?
You can't really worry too much about that. I mean, we have been very successful in Britain, but it's really exciting having a new challenge and having everything to prove again and no one knowing who you are and, you know, trying to make people laugh who don't know you at all. I mean, we did Leno on Monday night, and it was actually really thrilling because I thought, wow, we've got to make people laugh who have no sense of who we are. We could be just two British people.
Well, I mean, just to kind of confirm that, when they dropped us off in the car, they actually dropped us off at the audience entrance.
Aren't you afraid, though, if you get wildly successful here, it'll be like home where people will just be shouting catchphrases from the characters at you in the street and you won't get a moment's peace?
I'd like to hear people shouting our catchphrases either in American accents or American attempting British accents as badly as we attempt the American.
I'm a lady.
Well, you've had no bigger champion on our show than Ralph Garman, who has literally, guys, been talking up your show for years. But we ignored him and have never watched. So we're really excited to have the opportunity to see the new version on HBO Sunday night at 10:30.
Can I leave you with this thought?
Yes. Yes, please.
Please don't hate Rosie. She's a lovely lady.
Yeah.
Can I say that I love Ralph?
Wow. You can say that, yes. We can't take your word for it on Rosie. We're going to need some backup. But
I love you too, David.
God bless.
All right, Matt, David, thanks very much for joining us. Little Britain USA, Sunday night, 10:30 on HBO. Thanks, guys.
Stuart Townsend, actor, director, Speed Bump, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. He, you know, he's the one who, after Ralph was done with Charlize, Stuart moved in, you know, and he's settled.
Never had Charlize, by the way, just
really?
For the record.
I'm just going by the way that he tells
me. Yeah, I know.
He's getting phenomenal reviews for this new film, The Battle in Seattle, though, so we're looking forward to talking to Mr. Townsend coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Kevin, while you were on vacation, you missed the greatest story ever, and that is the Megan Fox cover interview that she did with GQ magazine.
Here's what I like about our listeners. They realized that I was on vacation, and they all sent me the story and the link and the pictures and everything. I was like, oh, they must have been talking about Megan Fox and her girlfriend. Fantastic.
When Megan moved to Southern California from Tennessee about 4 years ago, she, for some reason, ended up at the Body Shop and fell very deeply in love with a young stripper who was going by the name at the time of Nikita. Now, we haven't been able to find Nikita, but we do have the bat signal in the sky. We are trying to find her. But apparently, Megan Fox was pretty hot for her and was trying hard to get a relationship going with her.
Bringing
her gifts, trying to talk her out of stripping, trying to talk her into being her girlfriend. Apparently, it did not last very long. But just the visual, just the images in my mind of what that was like with 18-year-old Megan Fox and her Russian stripper girlfriend Nikita has kept me going for a long time.
Their relationship lasted as long as Megan Fox had $1 bills. And then
it was over. You've learned that harsh lesson in some strip clubs yourself, haven't you? Although Kevin is the guy that you hear about who comes out of the strip club going, seriously, guys, she was really into me.
Well, most of the time they are. But that's not the story. The story is this chick could have been with Megan Fox.
And maybe was for a very short time, but at some point she had to wake up and realize, hey, that chick from Transformers, that's the one I used to go out with.
And that's what we want to hear about. We're not going to necessarily, in this particular thing, focus on Megan Fox as much as you dated somebody before they became famous. So you didn't realize that they would be, you hated them, you broke up, whatever happened, and then later you went to a movie or you were watching TV or whatever, and there they are, bigger than life, and you go, that was a deal there. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it doesn't always mean that you regret it. It doesn't always mean that you stayed with the person. I mean, somewhere out there, there's some girl who went to the high school prom with Spencer Pratt. Believe me, she doesn't regret that they're not still together. You know, he grew up and became famous, but he also became a tool. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you were in the wrong to not continue to be with that person. But it is fascinating, and it does have to screw with you a little bit that you used to go out with somebody, and then they end up being famous, and then everybody knows who they are, and it's got to be so weird for you, right?
And what city more than this one where there are so many aspiring actors and actresses, and you know, you find somebody at a restaurant or wherever you meet them, you date them, and then that's what they want to do is be an actress, and then they actually make it happen. Or a dude, and they actually make it happen. It doesn't mean you should stay with them, but if you dated somebody before they became famous, we want to talk to you at 1-800-520-1067.
Maddie is the K-Rock listener's name who suggested the topic. Guys, of course, we've all heard the story about Megan Fox and Nikita. It kind of makes me wonder, how many people have dated someone before they became famous? Maybe you guys could do a phone topic on it. Well, thank you, Maddie. You say it there, and it comes out here. That's what we're talking about. 1-800-520-1067. You dated them before they were famous.
All right, let's begin with Justin in Orange. Good morning, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Who did you date before they became famous?
Lauren Conrad in high school.
Yeah.
How about that?
Right.
Nice. Right. Nicely done. And you're happy that you let that go?
Yeah, she's kind of a bitch.
Really?
Well, nothing's changed. Hey, what's it like for you when you're at home now and she's on every entertainment show and she presented at the Emmys the other day? I mean, what's that? Is that weird for you?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. All my friends make fun of me because I didn't stay with her.
Yeah, you made the right call, dude.
Yeah, for the entertainment factor alone.
For that, you should have stayed with her, yes. But
how long did you guys go out?
Oh, not very long, less than 6 months.
Right.
I couldn't take it.
what did you dislike about her the most?
She was real rude to my friends and stuff.
Wow.
Well, that hasn't changed at all, has it?
She's always been good with personal relationships.
Yeah.
All right, Justin, excellent call. Thank you very much. That's exactly what I'm talking about, because he's going out with her in high school, and he's not looking, you know, 5 years down the road or something. Who would have ever expected that Lauren Conrad would end up being famous?
Yeah, her of all people. No kidding.
Right. She has no abilities.
Let's go to Melissa in Torrance. Good morning.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
How's it hanging?
To the left. Who did you date?
I dated, and by the way, he's now settled back into relative obscurity, so it's great, but Roger from Less Than Jake.
Roger from Less Than Jake.
Yes. A former K-Rock band.
Sure.
For a minute, was he popular enough that it was kind of weird for you?
Well, here was the thing. He wrote me a song for Christmas, complete with lyrics about how awesome I am.
Right.
And then several months later, I heard that same song played on K-Rock, but with different lyrics.
Interesting.
Lyrics.
So it was all different lyrics or just a different girl's name?
Oh, no, it was all different lyrics. It was now about how like he's completely retarded, essentially.
Is it Dope Man? Was it Dope Man?
No, it was The Science of Selling Yourself Short.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I remember that song.
It was like the one big song that they got famous with. And so I was a little pissed.
So you're saying he wrote that song for you and then changed? Wow.
Yes,
that's hilarious.
It was my Christmas present, which, by the way, is kind of cheesy because it was a gift that cost nothing, and then it was taken back and changed.
Yeah.
And given to the world at large.
Yeah, and you weren't allowed to even have a say in it.
No, yeah. I had no say, nor did I receive any credit, by the way, for the fame that followed, which has now disappeared.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's not like you were Delilah and you'll have that forever, you know? It's not like you can say, I'm the girl in the song, because there's no proof of it. I got you.
No.
All right, Melissa, excellent call. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, Melissa. I was going to have her send us the song.
1-800-520-1067. If you dated somebody before they were famous, that's the topic we're talking about. Let's try, how about Seth in L.A.? He's on line 6 this morning on the Kevin Amin Show. Hi, Seth. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Who'd you date?
I kind of hooked up with Cameron Diaz a couple times.
Yeah.
Cameron Diaz.
No kidding. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I was modeling back in the late, 80s, and I did a couple jobs with her, and I actually have some Polaroids to prove it. Kind of were just sitting around talking one day, and just like, so what's in your future? She goes, well, I'm going to Japan. I was like, well, me too. So I was hanging out in Japan in a nightclub, and the elevator door opened, and here came rolling out 16, 17-year-old Cameron Diaz with some little hotties, and for the next few weeks, we all just kind of hung out and had fun in Japan.
Wow. Now, do you just have Polaroids from the modeling or from the hooking up?
I actually have two Polaroids from modeling, and I have one photo from that night at the nightclub.
Well, I think we might need that.
So what was it like for you? Fast forward a few years, and now she's a huge star in The Mask with Jim Carrey. Did it kind of wig you out?
No, I was like, hey, man, that's pretty cool. You know, it'd be nice to run into her again to say what's up, because we just kind of all parted company. Everybody went their own ways, and I've never seen her again.
So she seemed cool, and you weren't really in a hardcore relationship with her. You just hung out with her and tapped.
Yeah, way cool. Actually, you know, we did several jobs together and got to know each other pretty well. You know, you're hanging out all day. And,
she was
way cool. I never in my wildest dreams thought she would be what she was today. She was just a cute young little girl, and checked out.
That's awesome. All right, man, thanks for the call. She does seem like a super cool person, by the way, Cameron Diaz. Hey, Kevin and Bean, Brian writes in from Orange. Believe it or not, my mom dated Ted McGinley, who, by the way, is on Dancing with the Stars right now, from Married with Children in high school. He went to Newport Harbor High in Newport. My mother-in-law also dated Kevin Costner back in high school. They went to Villa Park High in Orange County, California. And that's got to be kind of weird. You're dating Kevin Costner. The next thing you know, he's Kevin Costner.
No kidding. Let's go to Jeff in Burbank. Good morning, Jeff. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Who'd you date?
Robin Wright Penn.
Robin Wright Penn.
Good John deal Penn's right wife. There. Wow.
Yeah. How old were you?
12.
Wow.
What?
He was dating her when he was 12. Where did you go on your dates?
the school dances.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Okay, that's fine. All right, we're almost out of time. Thank you, Jeff. Let's do one more. Jesse is in El Monte. If this were me, I would never stop talking about it. Jesse, who'd you date before she was famous?
Jessica Biel.
Oh!
Yeah! No! No possible way.
Yes, it did. It happened.
Now, this is one where you should look at her, and when you see her on the screen, you should kill yourself.
Pretty much. Every day I think about it, but it doesn't happen, but yeah.
How long were you with her?
About 3-4 months. We went out on 4 or 5 dates.
Dude.
So, yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
You are not a winner.
I know.
Wow.
No, I was. That's the thing. I played professional baseball. I did acting part-time, and I had the same agent as she did, but, yeah, it didn't work.
Okay, who ended the relationship and why?
You know what?
She did, let's be honest.
Yeah.
but before that happened, you hit that, right?
Oh, several times.
Oh, yes! Oh dude.
Yes.
Dude.
You're our hero.
Let's just say, Little Miss Jessica is wild. One. Number two, backdoor. That's all I got to say.
So she...
No way!
All right. We should say for the record here, in case Miss Beal and her attorneys are listening, we don't have any way of knowing if Jesse is telling the truth here.
Although we would like to believe
it. We very deeply want to believe, that's for sure. Thanks for the call, Jesse.
Greetings. My name is Kit. Considering I am the most high-tech automobile on the planet, it seems appropriate to inform you the traffic report was brought to you by Knight Rider, premiering tonight at 8, 7 Central on NBC.
Not at all annoying. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Michael. I don't like it like this, Michael.
I guess I didn't realize that show was successful enough first time around to come back. I didn't know that we were awaiting the return of the Knight Rider.
Here's the thing about some remakes. Mm-hmm. Some shows were fun and good in their time.
Right.
Right. Watch an episode of Knight Rider now. I dare you.
Not watchable.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not enough there to freshen up and put back on television. And yet people are watching. So
I'm in if you got the Hoff. I'll tell you that.
No, this is a mess.
No Hoff. No Hoff in the new KR.
Okay. What's up with David Blaine? Will he die tonight? We'll talk to an expert coming up after the news. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday. What's happening?
Oh, our buddy Jeff Ross. Poor Jeff. Got booted off Dancing with the Stars after the first night of dancing.
I used to like him, and now I hate him.
Did not make it through. Not only that, but Jeff injured his eye while rehearsing for the show.
What?
He was wearing an eye patch. I don't know if you saw on the show or
not. No, I don't watch the show, but that's awesome.
He got a finger to the eye from his dance partner. Which is, if you're injured in a dancing accident, maybe you should just sit down. Maybe it's not the right show for
we
you.
We need to have Jeff back in.
Jeffrey Ross.
Ask him about the eye patch.
That was a bad idea for him to go on.
Look,
there.
If Corolla lasted longer than he did with the Stars, then he's got troubles.
Did they just give Jimmy an empty slot to say, just find us one of your friends and we'll just plug him in? Is it Cleto going to be on next season?
Pretty much.
It
could be. Yeah.
Uncle Frank going to be dancing with the Stars after that?
Probably.
Yeah.
Hey, there is an ABC connection. I wouldn't be surprised.
Of course. Obviously, that's how it happens. But still worth it for Kim Kardashian, by the way. I don't know if you're watching.
Yeah. I'm not watching, man.
Still I have not watched a second of it. Good in those costumes.
Yeah.
And that Brooke Burke. She's got four kids, and she's bulletproof.
She's amazing looking, yeah.
Diabolical.
Yeah.
Clay Aiken's gay.
How dare you?
I'm going to sue you. No longer speculation.
It hasn't been for 5 years.
I know, but he's finally come out and said it. For years, he avoided the subject. He couldn't speak out on it because his mouth was full. But
I contend he's just doing it for the publicity, Ralph. I think he's as straight as can be.
Yeah, well, that's what you do.
Anyone gay?
That's what you do when you're straight as can be. You go on People Magazine and say, "Yes, I'm gay." The headline reads as he holds
appealing
his infant
to the gay
son.
Audience. Yeah, that likes his music. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. He said he finally came out because I cannot raise a child to lie or hide things. He said, "Hey, you know what? You don't have to. They'll do that on their own. You don't have to raise a kid to do that.
Turns out that comes naturally.
They learn that on their own. The whole lying thing. You'll be fine." Psycho Mike.
Yes.
Time to brush up your resume.
Okay.
Knock, knock. Anyone gay?
Time to put together your demo reel or whatever it is that you have to offer. I haven't figured that out yet, but there must be some talent.
He doesn't have it anymore.
Because you're going to want to audition for something. Daily Variety newspaper announces today that the latest feature film to Broadway musical is being developed. American Psycho.
No way.
Is being adapted to a Broadway musical.
Oh, my God.
The novel, of course, was about a 1980s Wall Street banker who's also a serial killer, later made into a movie in the year 2000 starring Christian Bale.
This is one of the most disturbing things about Psycho Mike, is that movie was way disturbing.
Yeah.
And it was amazing, but it was really bizarre. And Psycho Mike watches that about once a week.
And reads the book over and over again, too, by the way. It's not just the movie. He just loves all the killing.
He's obsessed with American Psycho. And now here's your chance. You could audition to play
the lead role?
Patrick Bateman?
Clark Bowman, or whatever his name was.
What are the dates there on the auditions?
It does not say here what the auditions are, but I'm sure if you look into it, you can find out. American Psycho being brought to stage as a Broadway musical. That should be a very entertaining musical. What?
I'll kill you with a chainsaw.
Well, look, if Sweeney Todd can make it, anything can happen on stage. So there you go, Psycho Mike. That's a little kernel of nugget of gold for you.
Do you like Psycho Mike, period. F*** Psycho Mike. I've been saying that my whole life. Yeah. I'll be saying it till the day I die. F*** Psycho Mike. Wow.
His head is about to explode, Ralph.
Jessica Simpson says she's still her old self, only now she's better.
Why? How? When?
Well, because she's gone through so much tragedy in her life, Kevin.
What tragedy?
She's become stronger, a better person.
What bad things have ever happened to her?
I have no idea what she's referring to. I guess her marriage ending would be considered bad. For her, not for Nick Lachey.
No kid, yeah.
But for her. And she says, of course, Tony Romo, her boyfriend, is a great quarterback, but a better boyfriend.
Oh, dear God.
She says, sometimes there's a lot to put up with dating Jessica Simpson, though. Like her chronic flatulence. She says that's why Tony is a great boyfriend, because he puts up with her constant farting and her hobby of belching the ABCs.
Why would she be talking about these things in an interview?
She's proud of them.
Because she's white trash and is horrible.
Day and night she talks. Each word more useless than the next.
How long could you put up with that? Someone who laughs at her farts and then belches ABCs in your face after a meal.
Not at all.
I don't care what she looks like. I don't care how hot she is or how big her cans are. I would have to find a shallow grave.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I'm not a big fan of the super hot chick that has to prove she's just one of us by burping.
Yeah, aren't you know I a regular one? Aren't I one of the boys?
Right.
Yeah, it's
F you.
That's not necessary. That's not sexy.
Not sexy.
We can handle farting and laughing at it. We don't need a girl to help us
do
with
that, you know, on our own when we're, you know, at poker games and bachelor parties and man time.
Yeah.
We don't want that from our ladies. We want ladies to be ladies.
Right.
Not interested.
Today's celebrity birthday is Kyle Sullivan from Malcolm in the Middle, who turns 20 years old today. CNN's Lou Dobbs is 63.
Did you say Malcolm in the Middle?
I'm pretty sure that's what I said.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Gordon Clapp from NYPD Blue turns 60. Nina Vardalos from My Big Fat Greek Wedding is 46 years old today. And Kevin Sorbo, flimsiest Hercules ever, 50 years old today. Nothing against Kevin Sorbo as an actor,
right?
But he's no Hercules. He was on that show and he had like stick arms, just run around in a leather vest or something.
I like, have stick arms.
Exactly. I could be Hercules if that's the requirement. Leather vest and a loincloth and some gay hunter boots or whatever the hell he used to wear. Running around. I could be that guy. West Hollywood Hercules. I want to see a big, burly, manly Hercules. I want to see Lou Ferrigno Hercules. That's a Hercules.
Hello.
I'm Hercules. I have a lot of labor to complete before I can become a god.
That's Hercules right there. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
The uninvited guests. In the O.J. Simpson trial, disputes over whether the Goldman claim can be introduced and who's telling the truth about guns.
Charles Ehrlich, the first of the flipped former co-defendants to take the stand for the state, testified.
Is your memory refreshed as to what Defendant Simpson said in the room when you were confronting him about guns being present?
Yeah, he basically said I effed up, that I should have never told him there were guns involved.
Another uninvited guest crashed an elderly couple in Beverly Hills as they had company over, cleaned out the safe, and drove off in the Benz. From the uninvited advice department, the American Empire is nearing its collapse. Its next rulers will limit their interference to their own borders. The Afghan and Iraq wars were started to win elections. Rhetoric at the UN from Mahmoud Ahmadinejad of Iran. And oh yes, his nuclear program is peaceful. Because we haven't taken them off the terrorist list yet, North Korea says it's restarting plutonium production in its reactors, but it's well known they can be bought off. The Yankees missed the playoffs. The Dodgers, magic number 3 to get in. They won. The Angels lost 75-95 later, 68 at K-Rock. I'm Doc on the Rock.
Stuart Townsend coming up in about 10 minutes talking about his new movie, and Sam Rockwell talking about his new movie, which looks great, called Choke, also on the way on the Kevin and Bean
Those
Show.
Those are actual guests. Are they not aware it's the Kevin and Bean Show? Are they trying to get to Big Boy and we kidnapped him? What happened?
I do not have the answer to that. We'll have to ask him when they get here.
ABC Primetime Special, I guess they're continuing association with, I hate to call him a magician, I guess he's not anymore, but David Blaine has a new special on tonight. Apparently he's been hanging upside down since Monday. Do I have that right? Is that the deal?
Dude, yeah, I guess. He's going to hang upside down for 60 hours. And then he's going to fall to his death. Here's the commercial. You tell me.
David Blaine has conquered vertigo high in the sky, been frozen in a block of ice, and been breathless for 17 minutes. But on Wednesday, September 24th, he'll do the unthinkable. Cheat death. Only David Blaine would hang upside down for 3 days, 5 stories high, with no net, and shock you with a terrifying plunge. It will either be his greatest stunt or his last. David Blaine, Dive of Death.
Not interested.
I don't understand the dive of death part. That's just when they cut him down at the end of the 60 hours and then he's going to fall? Is that what they're talking about?
Yes, supposedly. Dude, I don't know. I can't imagine. All I know is if they're calling it the dive of death, he better effing die. Right? Because then it's not the dive of death.
Dive of possible death, I guess.
Here's a little song.
David Blaine! David Blaine! Hope you die! David Blaine is a giant douche nozzle! Die! David Blaine! Hope you die! David Blaine! Hope you die tonight, you douche! Yeah!
Whether he dies in the fall or not, one of the sidebars of the 60 hours that he's spending hanging upside down has been in the medical community who are talking about whether it's dangerous or not. Like, what are the ramifications to your body of hanging upside down for that long? And we thought, well, we know a doctor, and then we couldn't get Dr. Drew. So then we said, let's call Dr. Mo because he's smart, and he's the chief of surgery at Little Company of Mary in San Pedro. And Dr. Mo joins us again on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doc.
Hey, guys. Long time no talk.
Yeah, great to talk to you. Hanging upside down. Now, I know that David Blaine has done the 3 days encased in ice. He went 44 days without food. He was underwater. He's been buried alive. He's done them all. But he's trying to say that hanging upside down is the most dangerous and physically demanding of any of the stunts he's ever done before. Does that sound right to you from a medical perspective, doctor?
First of all, in that list of things he just did, doesn't he kind of sound like an idiot?
Yes!
Well, absolutely!
I mean, here's the thing. When I got the call from Alex, I, to be honest, all I heard was a commercial that he's going to be hanging upside down for 60 hours.
Right.
And physically, I don't think that's possible. So I did a little looking around, and let me give you a 20-second anatomy lesson.
Okay. Okay.
You got blood in your arteries that goes to your legs, and it comes up in the veins, right? So arteries go one way, veins go the other.
Right. Okay.
In your legs, veins have valves. So what happens is, as the muscles move, the blood sort of gets squirted upwards in the veins, and that's how it gets back to your heart.
Okay.
That's normal. Now, blood goes to your head in these huge blood vessels known as the carotid and the vertebral arteries. A lot of blood goes to your brain. It's one of the organs that needs the most blood. Mm-hmm. Now, none of the veins in your head and your neck have valves, because it doesn't need help. It just gravity lets it drain downward. We are meant
sure.
to be upright. So this yahoo thinks he's going to hang upside down, which means not only will he be getting a ton of blood flow to the brain, but he won't be able to get rid of it. In the same way that your ankles swell, like some people's ankles swell when they get on airplanes or they've been sitting a long time because they can't get rid of the extra fluid is going to build up in his brain and blow his retinas off.
Okay. I hope that happens. I would be a fan,
too.
And I have a little song for him.
David Blaine, hope you die!
Love the song.
Now, is he going to do it then? I mean, he's saying he's doing it for 60 hours. How?
No, he's not doing it because I was on trauma call last night here in Long Beach, actually, and I was doing a little internet between patients. And sure enough, Fox News shows that about every 20 minutes to an hour, he stands up.
Okay, so he's a lying liar who lies. So basically, he's not hanging upside down probably for any more than 45 minutes at a time. Now, if you do, let's say you do 45 minutes on and 15 minutes off, let's just say to make up a number. Is that going to, that it sounds like it accomplishes exactly what you recommend as a doctor, which is giving the blood an opportunity to flow back down through your body.
I'm just saying, what moron who isn't technically either a bat or a chimpanzee would hang upside down for 45 minutes? Involuntarily.
Right, but then he's going to take a 10 or 15 minute break, which they're not advertising.
Right, and having a drink of water, which the photographs also show.
And then he's going to do the, quote, dive of death. Supposedly, tonight, then at the end of it, they're going to release him, and it's either going to be his greatest stunt or his last. And I got to tell you, I'm so tired of these, quote, magicians telling us that they could die.
Yeah. Somebody should ask me. Ask a doctor. You really want to die here?
Right.
I'll give you some real options.
Let's send David Blaine to you. And you can do the right thing.
David Blaine, hope you die.
Dr. Mo, how long would it take, in your opinion, and I know that there's it's difficult to guess at something like this, but just give me a ballpark. How long would it take hanging upside down for real without breaks before you would really have the kind of trouble that you're describing with, you know, your eyes popping out?
Well, he's going to look bad after 45 minutes to an hour. I mean, he's going to look funny, and his face is going to be all kind of swollen, and the veins will be all distended. But he's not going to have any permanent damage. And I did sort of find out why this can happen. Excuse me. In other animals, they develop extra veins to help drain the blood out of their skull and, you know, and through their face and through other parts of their body.
Right.
So if you, I guess, if you technically were to train for, like, months and try to build up those veins by getting progressively and progressively longer upside down, he may not suffer some of the side effects. But I'm saying, okay, point is exactly what? I mean,
that's just my thing. Why do people care?
It's not magic. It's not a stunt. He's not jumping over anything or, you know, falling from anywhere.
Dude, it's the plunge of death. Don't forget that.
David Lane, hope you die.
So you're not impressed is basically what you're telling us, Dr. Mo.
I'm only impressed that he gets 2 hours of prime time.
2 hours? It's 2 hours?
I think it may be 2 hours, yeah.
Oh.
And somebody's probably paying him to do it, too. I bet that that's part of the deal.
Huge. But he gets paid way more to hang upside down for an hour than I'll do for roto-rooting somebody's neck out and saving their life.
That's yeah. Crazy. That turns out that's not so fair.
All right. Well, that's about what we expected. And when we put in the request for you, Dr. Mo, we didn't realize at that time that he was taking the breaks every hour. And that totally makes it sound like what you're saying is true, that he needs to figure out a way to get that blood going in the other direction, or he would be facing the serious medical issues that he's trying to make us believe he's
right,
facing.
But you guys are forgetting the part where he's going to do the plunge of death.
Well,
yeah, my ass.
There is that.
Hey, my ass.
Dr. Mo, I'm glad you came on. Little Company of Mary San Pedro, always great to talk to you on the show. And I'll call you after 10. You get the results back from that rash I told you about?
Oh.
Oh, dear. Can I say one thing? I'm going to try to politely ignore that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done this before, but it is my 14-year anniversary, so I just wanted to say hi to my wife in case she's listening.
Well, then call her on the goddamn phone.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Thank you, Dr. Mo. Bye now.
David Blaine. David Blaine, hope you die. David Blaine is a giant douche nozzle. Die. David Blaine, hope you die. David Blaine, hope you die tonight, you douche. Yeah.
Sorry.
Would you try to be professional,
please? What are you laughing about? We haven't even started yet.
Oh. 8:27. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Stuart Townsend is in the studio. I'm sorry, Stuart. I apologize. For
writer, director Stuart Townsend.
All right. Not being able to talk.
Speed bump.
Speed bump.
Is how we refer to him. Yes.
Yeah. That's right.
Should we start with that, or should we start with the sexual tension between you two? Well, is there sexual tension between you two?
I have met my nemesis.
I think we do need to put this feud to rest. Okay. Because, as I was mentioning this morning, it's got to be so hard for Charlize. The two men she cares most about in this world have this adversary relationship. It's just got to tear her up inside.
It is, particularly when one is, you know, inside the house, in the bedroom, and the other one is out in the bushes, freezing cold. It's difficult.
Binoculars.
We're gonna settle our differences and agree that, you know, yes, we can coexist. So there won't be.
Here's how you can coexist. If I can help, you've never dated her once, but you're in love with her from afar. He is her boyfriend.
Well,
so done.
Wow, that's if you, when you put it that way.
Really, I mean, done.
We don't try to define our relationship, Charlize and I. So we really never had that problem in the sense that I had really no relationship with her. That was
right.
Really
you didn't.
That wasn't really a hurdle.
Okay.
On my side.
Okay. All
yeah,
right.
Really.
I do remember a defining moment in the struggle, Ralph, was when you first met Stuart. Because for years you'd been referring to him as the speed bump and talking about all the bad things you were going to do to him. And then when you met him, you came in the next day and went, seems like a good dude. Not much I can do there.
kind of hard to hate him when I met him. That was the hard part.
We
met
can't really Hancock. Win her away from that.
We
sorry.
Met at the Hancock premiere, and
he's working on his headphones.
The headphones there. There we go. A little volume. We met at the Hancock premiere, and Stuart and I finally met, and he said, "Oh, speed bump, huh?" And from that point on, we hit it off. So yeah,
I shook my hand very strongly, very firmly.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you feel
try to break
some fingers?
So the guy's talented. He's a great actor. He's got Charlize, and now he turns out to be an excellent writer and director as well. Because I saw Battle in Seattle last night, and it is an excellent, excellent film. Really, that I recommend
how about
highly.
That? I only follow the news when I have to. Tell me what this was 1999.
Yeah.
Tell me what the World Trade Organization is and why it was so. picketed.
How long have you got?
It's not long, unfortunately.
Okay, it is an organization that was designed after the Second World War. Europe was, you know, in a state of you know, war, basically, and they wanted to repair everything. So it was, the IMF was there designed to give loans. The WTO was designed to sort of kickstart trade.
Okay.
And so it's kind of noble.
It was an economic solution to the ravaging of Europe at the
time.
Exactly. Right?
And so, you know, over the intervening decades, the corporations got in there and it became less about world trade and more about corporate profit. And so in 99, they had all, you know, the World Trade Organization got teeth in 95 and it could impose all these sanctions and these laws where, that they can impose on America or any country undemocratically. So, you know, these laws that get passed and you and I and anyone living here has no, you know, choice in the matter, no say in the matter. So that was one part, but also all the laws that they passed were for corporations and they were always against the environment, always against workers' rights, et cetera, et cetera.
So they came to have their big party in Seattle and a lot of people showed up and said, uh-uh.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, yeah, you had the labor movement who were trying to support workers' rights, you had environmentalists, you had people... you know, from developing countries that were being ignored largely by these corporations.
Farmers, students.
A lot of people trying to make a point at this big convention they were having in Seattle.
How did you pick this story? Because you wrote and directed it, right?
Yeah. Look, I thought it was a badass movie. That was really, I thought it was, obviously there was amazing protest, very colorful, very creative, that then, you know, got crushed by the state and it all escalated into this violence and it was a state of emergency and the army was called in and I thought... You know, I can't. This is a movie. It's, yeah. It's got a lot of drama, a lot of conflict.
And the thing to know about sorry, Ben, go ahead.
I was just going to add to that, when you're talking about the violence, I kind of got the feeling after WTO, the riots in 1999, that that's when you started to see more and more of these protest zones set up that were miles away from wherever the people whose attention you were trying to get were actually meeting.
The freedom cages, I think they call
them. Yeah,
the
freedom cages. As we just saw at the Republican and the Democratic National Convention, if you want to go down there and protest, you almost had to be 2 miles away or something like that from where the people were whose attention you were trying to get. And I got the feeling that this is kind of, this was the last riot in America that they were ever going to let happen, it seemed like, because it was so bad and so unexpected.
That was exactly it. Ironically, Seattle, because of the victory, that was it. From then on in, there was 2 mile exclusion zones at any of these meetings, and they had the Navy and the, you know, the Army and everything protecting the delegates. So there was, that was really the last chance for a real dissent.
You have Andre Benjamin, Andre 3000. You have Ray Liotta, who doesn't work enough for my
Ray Liotta plays the mayor of Seattle at the time, and he is excellent in this role.
You got Woody Harrelson. Yeah. And who do you have to sleep with to get Charlize Theron in your movie, for God's sake?
A lot of casting couch going on there.
Amazing.
Yeah. And by the way, I do not approve of the way you treated Charlize in this film at all. She is sad in a lot of the movie, and that just breaks my heart.
That's true.
You made her very sad. There's a lot of crying, a lot of beating up. Yes, and I can't sign off
on
that.
If Ralph would have directed this movie, it wouldn't have gone that way.
She would have just been floating. How dare you, sir? No, she would have been floating above the protest is like an angel, just sort of looking
in
down
a swimsuit
on we mortals.
Would that have worked?
I'm not sure how I'd dress her, quite
frankly.
It's
called Battle in Seattle, and we'll have more details, and we'll continue with Stuart Townsend.
It's been 30 years since the Democratic Convention riots of 1968 pitted police and protesters against each other. But some fear history will repeat itself this week in Seattle as the World Trade Organization prepares to hold its first ever meeting on U.S. soil.
We believe that all the protesters will be concentrated there.
How many protesters are we expecting?
Several thousand.
Each of the affinity groups are going to shut these areas down. Now, how are we going to do it?
Non-violent.
That's right.
Be tough on your issues, but be gentle on my town.
Does that usually work with protesters? Asking them to be gentle?
These guys were peaceful. That's the problem.
Most of them.
Majority of them were peaceful. And then you had a small group of anarchists who did some property damage, and that's when the S hit the fan.
We are talking with writer, director, actor, Stuart Townsend, who is in the studio right now talking about the film Battle in Seattle. By the way, even if you're not the type of person who generally goes to real-life event movies like this one, even if that has no interest, Ralph will be the first to tell you that it's a great story if you know or care nothing about this, right? Because you get involved in the people that are in the movie.
Yeah, I was telling Stuart earlier, my fear is that people will hear the content of, or what the backdrop of the movie is, and think somehow it's an important film, which scares people away sometimes, or it's a message film. It's none of that. It is the story of people on both sides of the conflict, on all sides of the conflict, caught in the middle of this insanity over 5 days. And it's fascinating drama because you get to see a cop who's caught in the middle of what he needs to do in order to do his job, what the protesters are feeling, what the mayor is feeling, getting pressure from the governor and from Clinton and the White House in terms of how he's handling the situation. You really get human experiences in the middle of this insanity, and it makes for a great film. It's just great drama.
They don't learn an important lesson at the end?
We do. The audience may, we do. But okay. They certainly don't. No, okay, good. No. And I'm telling you, I kind of pride myself in being a fairly aware guy and sort of, you know, semi-well-read and semi-political. And I was not aware of the scope of the World Trade Organization or what was going on with that organization until I saw this film. So I think for that reason alone, it's sort of important to see because it opens your eyes a little bit to what's happening in the world, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I made it, because when I started researching it, I was like you. I vaguely remembered it, but I had no idea it was this kind of event and how it escalated just out of control.
And I didn't know the World Trade Organization was such a mammoth entity as it was. You know, when you find out in the film that they are able to pass laws that supersede the laws of the governments of the countries that they're operating in,
that's scary.
It seems a little strange to you, you know? Yeah. It seems a little, something's not right about that.
This could be your genre. You could do riot films. Like, then you could do the Los Angeles riot.
Right.
Right? And sure. Then just go from riot to riot.
And start starting riots so you could film them and make movies about them, which would be good.
That's a good marketing play, too.
Stuart, did you get a chance to interview any of the real people who lived through that in 1999 for your movie?
Yeah, they're your neighbors, actually, up in Vashon. There's a guy, John Sellers. He was one of the main activists, and he was very helpful. A lot of protesters came out of the woodwork and helped us out. We also had this trade lawyer called Larry Wallach, and she works at Public Citizen in Washington, and she was very much one of the inside. It was very much an inside-outside strategy. So you had, on the outside, you had these direct action tactics, which, you know, really confounded the police because they had no idea it was a decentralized operation where all these affinity groups shut the entire city down, and the police just weren't expecting that kind of tactic. And they shut it down by putting their arms in these lock boxes, locking down all the intersections. And the police, you know, they can't intentionally harm people. So these lock boxes, you'd have to break their arms in order to break the intersections. So that was an outside strategy. And then someone like Larry Wallach was on the inside agitating with the actual ministers and in the WTO. So, you know, it was really fascinating kind of getting both points of view from the inside and from the outside of what kind of monkey wrenching happened.
It is a little bit sort of like a war movie when you watch it, because you see the strategy of the protesters versus the strategy of the cops. And it's fascinating to see how they planned ahead. And what they do is block off all the routes to the venue where they were having the conference for the WTO so that the delegates couldn't reach it. They couldn't actually have their event because these protesters were right in the middle of all the major intersections.
They don't do that BS here in Los Angeles. They'll just cut their arms off.
Yes, they would.
Hey, lockbox, right off. Next.
What is this Q&A that you and Charlize are doing at the Arclight this weekend?
Yeah, we're doing two Q&As. We're doing one at the Westside Pavilion on Friday and one at the Arclight on Sunday. I think they're both the 8 o'clock shows. So.
Yeah, for those who want to find Battle in Seattle, it's opening this Friday, only in two theaters here in Los Angeles, but hopefully as more people discover the film, it will open wider. But it's at the Landmark, which is on Pico Boulevard in L.A., and then the Arclight Hollywood, which you've heard me say before is one of my favorite places in the world to see a movie. That's at Sunset in Hollywood, so you can check it out there. But Charlize is going to be at one of them? Really? You guys are going to do a Q&A?
I'm sure we'll see you in the audience with your binoculars.
As usual.
That is an unfair characterization.
Does anybody else have a question? Ralph will be going, oh. Anybody
anyone
else?
Other than Ralph have a question?
Anybody have a question?
Charlize, do you like my shirt? What do you think about my hat? Hey, Stuart, do you have the directing bug big time now? Like, you can't wait to get out there and make another movie after this experience?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I definitely want to do some things differently. But, you know, because it's certainly not easy. It's not a, you know, I think you have to be crazy basically to want to try and direct independent film. But, you know, the actual creative experience was just, it was amazing. And getting to work with such great actors like I did was, you know, it was a privilege.
What's the toughest part of doing the independent film? Is it trying to get people's notice?
Definitely, yeah, on the back end, distributing and marketing is, yeah, particularly a film like this, you know, as Ralph said, it's, you know, when you give them the context, people go, oh, I don't want to see that, it's serious. But they don't realize that we've, you know, really tried to make an entertaining film first and foremost. Trying to get finance, too, you know, as a first-timer and saying, yeah, I want to do this sort of, you know, this film about, you know, it's set to a political backdrop. People go, whoa, what did you say?
Right.
So, you know, it's definitely hard. No one gives you the benefit of the doubt, basically, until you're a kind of proven entity.
It must have been nice to have friends like Woody Harrelson, though, and, of course, Charlize and people that... At least you have some recognizable names in the cast. Probably makes investors feel a little bit more secure about taking
a chance,
really
right? That was really how I got it made. Woody and Charlize both agreed to do it. And that's really, that got suddenly Ray Liotta and Andre Benjamin, they were on the fence. And then they heard these two were in, and then they were in, and then it was easy.
You have Michelle Rodriguez in there also from Lost. She plays one of the protesters. She's great in the film as well.
Channing Tatum, all the girls love him.
He's a good-looking fella.
Well, we do the best we can on the show from time to time. If we see a movie that may not get the advertising push that that it would like, we like to try to tip you off to it so that you know what's out there. And this one definitely seems like it's going to be worth your time this weekend. It's called Battle in Seattle, the Arclight in Hollywood, and the Landmark at the West Side Pavilion. And those Q&As are going to be before the evening shows on Friday and Sunday if you want to check that out. Is there a website too, Stuart, that people
can go
to?
We've got an amazing website, battleinseattlemovie.com, and it's really incredible. It's a place, a lot of the content that we couldn't put in the film, in a 98 film, is actually there on the website. So it's really cool.
I tell you, watch the film and it makes you want to be active. It makes you want to pick up a sign and protest. And then, you know, you go get a drink or something and that goes away. So don't worry about that. That fades.
Makes you want to get a TV?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't make you want to get a TV.
You're the problem, man.
I'm just saying, if
you're
there's
the kind
TVs
of guy
to be
looting out there instead of standing up for what you believe in.
Kevin is a little opportunistic. He doesn't care what you're writing about, but if you're going to write, let him know so he can get himself a free TV.
That's important, I think. You're the man. That's the problem.
Stuart Townsend, thank you very much for coming in.
I'm Judy Levitow with K-Rock Traffic.
Greetings. My name is Kit. Considering I am the most high-tech automobile on the planet, it seems appropriate to inform you the traffic report was brought to you by Knight Rider, premiering tonight at 8, 7 Central on NBC.
I don't get to tell you.
Nope, me neither.
8:53, we are going to talk to Sam Rockwell, one of our favorite actors, coming up just after the top of the hour about his new movie, Choke, which also looks fantastic.
This isn't the porn movie of the same name, Mike. You're confused. Ralph is here with the showbiz people. What's going on, Ralph?
How do you hate that guy, by the way?
You know,
who's dating
Charlize
Theron.
I think you handled yourself very well, considering how awkward it must have been for you.
That guy wins.
Yeah.
He does win.
You can't really begrudge that relationship, can you? She's spectacular, and he's spectacular. He's a smart, talented guy. Got a lot on the ball. He's a good guy.
Better looking than all of us put together.
Yeah.
A-hole.
I know.
He's got it all.
Yeah. They're absolutely perfect for each other.
Yeah.
I couldn't be more upset.
Yeah, he wins.
Yeah.
All right. Whatever.
But maybe he'll hire me to be really bad, a bad boyfriend to her, so that she'll go back to him.
No, that's just a movie.
Like Dane Cook does.
Nope.
In the hilarious new film, How the F Am I Still Working?
That's the name of it?
I think it is, yeah. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Meg Ryan. Back in the public eye for the first time in a long time because she's got that new movie, The Women, out in theaters.
Yeah.
Doing interviews, talking for the first time about her marriage with Dennis Quaid, how it ended 8 years ago after a brief but very public fling with Russell Crowe.
Yeah,
remember the time she caught a lot of crap?
She hoarded it up, right?
Because she was banging around with Russell Crowe. They were making a movie together, and she left Dennis Quaid, and everybody was like, oh, poor Dennis Quaid, his wife's a trollop. Now, Meg's saying that's not the case at all.
Now it's back in the news?
She is saying that her marriage, the problem was that Dennis Quaid had not been faithful to her for a very long time.
This ain't right.
And although she was scorned in the public eye, she said that wasn't the real reason the marriage ended. It was not her affair with Russell Crowe. It was because Dennis was unfaithful, and that's what caused the riff. Okay. Which I answer, so? He's a dude.
So it's okay?
If we can't count on women to be better than us, where does that leave us as a society?
In a pretty poor place.
That's what I'm saying. You know, this is the final season of ER. And apparently the producers are talking to a lot of the cast members, trying to get them back for a final appearance as they say goodbye to the series that's been on for, I think, 39 years on NBC.
I used to watch that show when I was a kid.
Yeah. George Clooney, however, says he will not be able to appear. He's way too busy.
Was that his?
That's what made him a star.
Skyrocket to fame?
Yep. Played Doug Ross on that show, and that's what made him a star. And then he left and started making movies, but he started out as a TV star, and they asked him to come back and appear in one last episode, but apparently he just doesn't have the time to squeeze it in.
That guy. What would he need him for?
Yeah, why would you want George Clooney on your show?
Sure.
Producers apparently say they have a script put aside, though, in case he can free up his schedule. They're ready to film anytime he can make it. That's pretty nice.
they write a story for you that they may not even use?
I call them every day. Seriously, hey, standing by.
What do you got? What do you got? Like a lunch hour? We can film it in a lunch hour. What do you got? Midnight? We'll come by your house. We'll build a set in your backyard. What do we need?
Would he do the Facts of Life reunion show?
Oh, I think that he would make time for. Especially if Jerry, Blair's cerebral palsied cousin, would show up and do some comedy.
But Blair... I never saw the ER. I just haven't got around to it. I
How
need to start watching
miss
it
ER?
Soon. I've never seen it. But they're bringing some of the cast members back that are dead on the show. They're
flashbacks.
Writing in flashbacks. Yeah. Yeah, so
Anthony Edwards is returning.
Oh, he died?
He died on the show, but he'll be back. Yeah. But we won't see Dr. Ross, apparently. Sad, sad news. Speaking of Ross, Jeffrey Ross and his partner were the first couple to be booted off Dancing with the Stars last night. It was a two-hour results show. Here's what
After
they do
the
now.
3-hour debut on Monday.
Three-hour
right?
debut. Then the two-hour results show is they line everybody up and say, "You are still on the show. Go dance." And then if you're still on the show, you have to perform another dance.
What?
Yes.
That doesn't count for anything. There's no.
I don't believe so. No.
Just go
dance.
You
and then they get down to the
effing.
Last two couples, and they say, "You go dance. You, Jeffrey Ross, go home with your eye patch."
Why are you bad, America?
Jeffrey was wearing an eye patch because he had a dance-related accident where someone poked him in the eye.
That's gay.
That
Poor
is way
guy.
Gay.
We need to have him in.
Yeah.
Jeff Ross, if you're listening, or somebody knows Jeff, give him a call because, wow.
Here's the thing about good comedians like Jeff Ross. They have no shame.
Right.
They'll do anything for a laugh. Right. They don't care about how they come off, how they look, how they appear. And there's no vanity whatsoever
sure.
in them. So they're able to do that. But I couldn't do it.
No.
If they came to me and said, look, they wouldn't because I'm nobody. But if they said, come do Dancing with the Stars. I said, I'm going to look like a total a-hole. I'm not going to do that in front of millions of people. Mm-hmm. That's the difference between good comedians and us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I give him credit for going out and doing it, but really.
He had an eye patch.
That was horrible.
If I recall, Ralph, is there a little watching of Dancing in the Stars going on in the Garmin household at night?
No, not really.
That's not a show that you sometimes sit down with your wife and watch a little
bit? No, no.
Okay.
I thought that was one of the ones that you said she liked that you...
Her parents are huge fans, and she's watched the occasional episode, but she's not passionate about it. But
somebody needs to keep an eye on Kim Kardashian and let us know if there's any kind of wardrobe malfunction. That's why I was hoping we've got some eyeballs on it from time
to time. That's why I tuned in initially, was to look at Kim Kardashian and Brooke Burke,
mm-hmm.
which is good reason.
Yeah, there are other places you can see pictures of those people.
And Julianne Hough, too. You throw that in the mix.
She's not in the season. She's not in the season, no, because she's off doing her music thing. She's
That's
got
crap.
Her CD.
That's yeah. crap.
Her gay twin brother's in it, but she is not.
Is he as hot as her?
Look, they look almost identical. Yeah, yeah.
Just checking.
Yeah, so I've been peeking in just to keep an eye on those two. And I just had to laugh at Jeffrey Ross wearing an eye patch, which I thought was
That funny. Is funny.
Like, who's the Jew pirate on the show?
Perfect timing for talking like a pirate.
Yeah, really.
If they had Jew pirates on the show, I would watch.
Today's celebrity birthday is Kyle Sullivan from Malcolm in the Middle is 20 years old today. Gordon Clapp, my old buddy from NYPD Blue, turned 60 years old today. Wouldn't know me if he ran into me.
No,
if he hit me with his car, he wouldn't know who I was. Mm-hmm. Kevin Sorbo, who played Faye Hercules on the show Hercules.
Is that his first name, Faye?
He's 50 years old. Nina Vardalos from My Big Fat Greek Wedding is 46, and CNN's Lou Dobbs is 63 years old today, celebrating he's got a giant cake with 63 illegal immigrants set on fire on top of the cake.
Really?
He's going to blow them out.
Wow. Yeah. I'm lost. What do you mean?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Okay, that's over. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 9 o'clock.
How about a timer that gives you a heads up when the song's ending? How about that?
Yep, counts right down to zero.
Let me tell you why I love this Sam Rockwell, this actor guy, Sam Rockwell. Let me tell you why I love him. Because not only is he a terrific actor, he has the best taste in movies.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys where if he picks a movie, it's worthwhile. He's got The Frost Nixon coming out before the holidays, which I couldn't be more excited about. And then he's got Choke, which is coming out this weekend, which I couldn't be more excited about. And we're very excited to welcome back to the program actor Sam Rockwell on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how's it going? How you doing?
We're doing great, and I meant every word of what I said, man. You got the radar for movies. The stuff that you pick is always worth checking out, my friend.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
You bet. Now, for folks who didn't read the book, like me, tell people about Choke.
Well, Choke is about a sex addict and his relationship with his mother, who's played by Angelica Houston. And I play Victor Mancini, a sex addict. And Brad Henke plays my best friend, who's a compulsive masturbator. And we have lots of adventures together, and we work at a colonial theme park. And it's and Kelly MacDonald is my mother's doctor, and she is the love interest, and she's wonderful. She was in No Country for Old Men, and it's really a romantic, sort of a punk rock romantic comedy.
This is written by the dude that did Fight Club, right?
It's written by Chuck Palahniuk, who wrote the book, Fight Club, and he wrote the book A Choke, and it was directed, and the screenplay was written by Clark Gregg, who was in Iron Man.
Oh, I love that dude. He's one of my all-time favorite actors, by the way.
Yeah,
he's a great actor.
He's always playing the FBI guy.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Don't you feel like, though, here in 2008, we've had so many movies about colonial theme park sex addicts? I mean, are you worried that we're digging a little deep on this topic?
We could be, and we are in danger of repeating many punk rock, colonial theme park, sex addict, romantic comedies, and we'll see what happens. Maybe people have had too much of that dish.
Sure. Let's talk about this sex addict thing for a minute. I know it relates very much to your character, Victor Mancini, but it's been in the news because of Dave Duchovny and his treatment, whatever that is. I mean, we were talking about this recently, Sam, and tell me if your experience bears this out, that it's almost one of the worst kinds of addictions to get because it's one of the hardest to... It's not like drugs where you just stop and do no drugs. I mean, some self is healthy and good, but how do you know when you're crossing the line if you've got an addiction problem?
Well, you know, I don't know much about David Duchovny's issues, but I did some research and I went to some meetings and I talked to a therapist and we researched it pretty thoroughly and you know I have a lot of compassion for sex addicts. It's a tough gig, man. It's not unlike a food disorder, probably more similar to that than alcoholism.
But don't you in the movie cruise those meetings looking for chicks because you know they're up for it?
That's right, and that's sort of glamorized a bit, but then we get a little down and dirty further in the film. But I think the big thing is that it's not as glamorous as being a Casanova. I think it's really actually quite sad, and there's a lot of pain involved and people who've been molested, and it goes anywhere from compulsive masturbation to prostitutes to people really losing their jobs and their wives and their homes.
All right, you're bringing us down now, Sam. You're bringing us down.
I know. I'm sorry, but only to tell you that I do have quite a bit of compassion for these people, and I hope the movie respects that, you know.
And the movie, by the way, please don't get the wrong idea from what Sam's talking about here. He's responding to my question, but it's a very funny movie. I mean, that's the gist of the thing, is that you'll laugh. Yeah.
It is actually a very funny movie that deals with some big issues, but it is actually a comedy.
Now, is it your mom's doctor that you're hitting on in the movie?
Yeah.
Because I have a clip of that. She's trying to calm you and make sure that mentally you're okay.
Yeah.
And you've got ideas of your own.
Facing the possibility of a loved one's demise can be very traumatic.
No, I want her to die, just until I find out who my family is.
Perhaps we should talk later, when you're not so upset.
You know, you're absolutely right. What time do you get off?
You don't have to do that.
What?
Try to have sex with me.
Oh, I really do.
Well, I suppose that's flattering, but I think we'd better not.
Why?
Because you're just... sad and lonely, maybe. And you're realizing for the first time that your mother probably won't be getting better. And sleeping with me isn't going to change any of that now, is it?
Only one way to find out.
There's my boy, right there. Does Chuck Palahniuk have any... is he one of these guys who's involved at all in the movies being made, hanging out, making suggestions, or does he pretty much let it go and Hollywood does what it will with it?
You know, he really let us go with this. And then he actually maintains that we were... very faithful to the book. We changed the ending a little, but it's actually pretty faithful.
I imagine that would be a tough crowd, the guy that wrote the book.
Yeah, you know, but he's great. His fans might be more critical of the film. I don't know, but we're actually fairly faithful to the film, I mean, to the book.
That's great. This is one, you're right about the fans, this is one that people, there are some people who thought it could not be made into a movie, right?
Well, yeah, it was a very difficult book to adapt. I know that through Clark. I mean, it's out there, you know.
Right.
It's really out there, but it's.
I'll tell you from the trailers though, it looks like you captured that out there really well. I mean, it looks like it's kind of strange. It doesn't look like every other movie. It doesn't have the same sense of humor as every other movie. It looks unique.
Yeah, I think it's closest to maybe Harold and Maude or The Fisher King or something. You know, that's the tone of it.
Well, when we first saw the trailer months ago, and there are very few movies that come along that this strikes us this way, we said, this is one for the K-Rock audience. If you like this show, and if you like this station, this is definitely the movie you want to check out. And again, it's called Choke, not to be confused with the porn movie that you've all seen of the same name, by the way. Completely different.
Word.
It opens
wait a minute, wait a minute. Did you just say word?
Yes, he did.
Word
app. That is nice.
It opens up on Friday, and it stars the great Sam Rockwell, who it's always a pleasure to catch up with on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks, Sam. Guys.
Thank you, man.
Thanks a lot.
Bye now.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Toll free, so the call is free, and we give you a prize. You can't beat that. A pair of tickets to the Off-Road Expo at the Fairplex in Pomona coming up October 3rd through the 5th, along with Runham engagement passes to see the movie we were just talking about, starring Sam Rockwell. It is called Choke, opening up on Friday. That's what you get.
Before we go to our calls, can I make a quick announcement?
Yeah.
Got the emails. Got them. Juliana Hoff is on Dancing with the Stars this season. She's dancing with the kid from Hannah Montana, apparently.
Okay.
I haven't seen them on there. I guess I wasn't watching for Hannah Montana's kid, but got the email. Got it. And for all you people who are really passionate and angry about Dancing with the Stars,
right,
go kill yourselves. Really, seriously. It's Dancing with the freaking Stars.
So if you have information, email Ralph at KRock.com.
And once again, Kevin, you're missing my point.
That's not your point?
I got the emails. I've got that information. I've made a public correction.
Okay.
Now please stop emailing me about Dancing with the Stars.
Let's start with Joe in Los Angeles. He's on line 7. We were just mentioning less than 6 weeks to go till the presidential election, and it sounds like Joe has made up his mind. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
What a deal, Kevin and Bean.
What's going on, man?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Sure. I appreciate it.
What do you got? What's going on?
All right, so basically, here's what I'm saying. We know both these candidates. Let's assume for a second they're both definitely pressing change, right? They both want to get in there and change stuff up.
Sure.
All right.
So like you guys were just saying, you know, McCain's coming from one angle. He's a guy who's kind of, he's been doing it for a while. He's got a lot of money, a lot of power. Then you got Obama on the other side, right? He's kind of more the average Joe.
Okay.
The new guy, right.
Is this heading anywhere?
So if you had, you know, a cage of lions fighting each other and you wanted to take them all out, who would you send? The Predator or, you know, the Energizer Bunny in there?
Is anyone following Joe?
I have no idea what he's saying.
I'm going to say Energizer Bunny.
You know, or Predator? What are the two?
I don't know what your question
means. Predator? From the movie?
And would you go with a guy that, you know, he's already been in there and he's a big dog himself already? Or would you go with someone else that's going to be harder for him to convince, you know, people that don't know him?
Right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to
Joey. Two dogs. One was an old dog who couldn't raise his paws. And you had another young black dog. Who was faster? Who would you send into the lion's cage if you had the Energizer Bunny on the phone?
I think Joe was trying to argue the old youth versus experience, but he was not doing a very good effective job of it, I don't think. Let's go to Joey in Hacienda Heights. Hi, Joey. Hello. Uh-oh. You're cutting in and out, dude. You there?
Call us back, Joey.
Call us back. Got caught by cops having sex in his car.
Oh, yeah. Joey.
Ah, baby. That's too bad.
Don't get crazy.
Let's go to Crystal in Santa Clarita. Good morning, Crystal.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What'd it do?
Well, I was in the desert this weekend at Rancho Las Palmas, recovering by the pool Saturday morning, and they're floating around the lazy river, and I see this guy that goes by, and it looks like Larry Burkett.
Mm-hmm.
Goes by again. It's him. He's got a little entourage surrounding him and the little inner tubes. He's floating around the middle.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was really funny that he happened to be there, and the whole reason he's famous is because of his daughter, Dani Lynn, yet she's nowhere to be found.
Okay. And did you say anything? What kind of a posse does he have? He's Larry Burkett.
Well, he was hanging out with a bunch of overweight white women. They're probably his relatives, most likely. But he was sitting there and just kind of posing with people as he passed by, taking pictures.
All right, hang on one second here, Crystal. I'm glad you called. Thank you. But have we ever had a worse segment of What It Do? First guy talked for 20 minutes about McCain and made no sense. The second guy, we couldn't hear his phone. The third chick is calling us because she saw Larry Burkett and Dani Lynn wasn't with him. That was the extent of her call. Do
it's
we not have
better.
Phone screeners
It's
going to
get
anymore?
Better, man. It's going to get better.
Is nobody like prepping these calls before
it's okay,
they get to the air?
It's okay, take a breath. This one, next one's going to be great.
So, Joe, there's a dog fight?
Stop it.
Oh. I'm confused. I don't know. Now we can't hear him.
Now what's going on with his phone?
Now we can't hear him. All right, let's go to Dominique in Northridge. Good morning, Dominique.
Hey, what's going on?
What it do?
your name is not Dominique. There's no way.
What's your name?
Well, I'm from Canada, so I guess it is.
Oh, that is your name. Okay.
Oh, you're Dominique. You're French.
Dominique.
Yeah, all right, Dominique. Go ahead.
Oh, all right, so my sister is a fashion designer, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's always trying to pawn clothes off on me.
Right.
But it's free, so I'm not going to complain. But what she did was she got me white pants.
Yeah.
So my girlfriend wants me to wear them, but I'm not sure. It's kind of iffy.
Well, you are French, so go ahead.
What's that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing.
What's that supposed to mean? Anyone? Ruler?
I believe he was calling you gay.
Oh, for four. You want to try one
more? Absolutely. Great. This next one's going to be awesome. Larry and Eagle Rock's going to rule.
I can talk to these people all day. Larry, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What it do, Larry?
Larry, what do you think about the quality of the call so far as a listener?
I hope I'm the best one. I think I am.
I think you are, too.
Let's see what you
got.
Go
for it.
Okay, so a couple months ago, you know, everything's going bad with money. You know, people losing their houses, everything like that.
Right.
My friend and I are looking to rent a house. We found a two-bedroom in Hollywood. And, you know, we go check it out. It looks, you know, it needs a little work, but it's a good price. So, turns out we move in a week later. The true owners of the property show up, and they're like, you know, what are you guys doing here?
Really?
Yeah, they're like, you know, this house is set up to be torn down in about a week. We're going to have you evicted, and, you know, your trust.
So who rented it to you?
Some lady who claimed to be affiliated with a nonprofit organization, and we actually Googled, the nonprofit to check it out, and it was legit.
Right.
So basically, we had to look for a new place, and then I came across another one of her exact ads just for a different house. So what I did is I called a couple friends of mine and had them pose as, potential renters, called the police in advance, and then she basically got arrested on the spot at Starbucks on the corner of Franklin and Highland.
Yeah. So she was a con artist who was renting homes that weren't hers to rent.
Exactly.
Spectacular.
Awesome. And then just taking the deposit money and hoping that you'll never find her again.
Exactly. And you know what? The Hollywood Police Division, they gave us all of her true information. Like, it was not her real name. Like, nothing that she gave us was legit. And then I...
Wait a minute. The con artist wasn't using her real name?
Of course not.
You can't trust a con artist. Who can you trust?
Yeah.
All right, but Larry brought her down.
He did. He brought her.
Good story. Bad telling, but good story.
All right. Let's end with Steve. I think Steve is going to put this all into perspective. Steve in Long Beach. Hi.
What's up? What to do, nephew?
What to do?
What to do, Steve?
I just really wanted to say that those first three calls were the biggest waste of 2 minutes of my life that I'll never get back.
Yeah, I agree.
I heard that.
Any way I could get a refund for that?
What's that?
Any way I could get a refund for that?
A refund on those 2 minutes?
Sorry, dude.
Freaking-lutely.
Yeah, sorry.
If we could promise you 2 extra minutes at the end of your life, dude, we would do it, but we just don't have the power. I'm sorry. You're just going to have to suck that
one. I can do it.
Out.
I can do it.
You can?
Yeah.
Okay.
Boom. There you go. You got 2 extra minutes at the end of your life. We'll tack it on.
Absolutely. That worked.
Please Thank enjoy. You,
Thank you for the call, and hold on for your prize. And thanks to all of our very special guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, including actor, writer, director, speed bump, Stuart Townsend, for stopping by. His film is opening up in 2 theaters Friday called Battle in Seattle, the Arclight in Hollywood, and the Landmark at the Westside Pavilion in Los Angeles. By the way, Q&A with Stuart and his lady friend and the star of the movie Charlize Theron before both of the evening showings around 7:30, so you might want to check those out. Also want to thank actor Sam Rockwell for joining us. The film is called Choke. That opens up on Friday as well. And Ralph, your comedy gods, Matt Lucas and David Walliams, for joining us today from Little Britain, USA, debuting this Sunday night at 10:30 on the HBO.
Oh, can't wait.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have live music from Atmosphere in the studio. We also have Erica Durance in the studio.
Oh! Hottest Lois Lane ever.
It's not a very big category, though, really.
There's been a bunch of actors who have played Lois Lane, but she is the first episode.
How many?
The premiere episode, are we comparing her to? There's about a half a dozen actors who have played Lois Lane, but she in the premiere episode, French maid costume.
Oh,
how do you like Lois Lane now?
All right then.
Yeah.
Was Terry Hatcher, was she a Lois Lane?
She was.
She was Lois Lane. Okay, in that show.
Yes.
Who else?
Noelle Neal played in the TV series. Margot Kidder, of course,
Harris?
In the movies. you had Kate Bosworth in Superman Returns.
Okay. All right.
So you want to shut up now or what?
I didn't know. I'm not as familiar with the comic book here.
Stand down, sailor.
All right.
David Blaine's not going to die tonight.
Why?
He just isn't. It's called Dive of Death or whatever. There's no death.
It.
There's no death involved.
But I want it.
So I'm going to bring in some great highlights from that 2 hour special.
Where, in other words, the last 30 seconds.
Where a guy doesn't die.
You're the best for sitting through that.
And we promise Osama bin Laden has poetry. And we promise that you'll hear something about it tomorrow. Even though we said that yesterday about today.
Right.
And we lied.
And the Burt Reynolds audiobook.
We're lying liars who lie.
And hoarders.
And talking about people who hoard.
And pit my ass.
These are all good ideas that didn't make it.
Metallica will be part of 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock with our friend Kat Corbett coming up next. Also, we got some Weezer on the way, Nirvana, Rise Against the Offspring. And if we could leave you with a very special message on behalf of the Kevin DeBean Show, please take this with you throughout the day today. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, always remember and don't ever forget that thoughts are things.